Sunday, there's a storm of ruin.
Batten down the hatches, Billy.
I don't have any hatches, but if I had hatches, this would be the day that I would batten them down.
What does batten mean?
Lock them up. Lock and load. Locks and bagels.
I wish.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I know what hatches are, but I do know that under stormy conditions, you're going to want to batten them down.
I know that. Aren't they on a boat, like those windows and things where water could get in? Those are the hatches.
That's right.
Down the hatch.
I bet that's right. And then people drink. Down the hatch.
Sounds like it would have been fun to be a pirate. My son Dylan says to me yesterday, Mom, if you could be something besides yourself, would you rather be a cowboy or a pirate?
Oh, that's a great question. You went with pirate?
I did.
Yeah, I'd go with pirate too. Because I love the sea.
It's scary though, and you might have to walk the plank.
Yeah, there's always that. There's downsides to being a pirate, don't get me wrong, but I think
there's bawdy women.
Oh, please. And there's doubloons. You get paid in doubloons. What's better than that?
Pirate pants?
You get to wear pirate pants.
Pirate shirts?
You get to be friends with parrots.
You don't like parrots.
I would learn to like them.
Hey, really?
You get a peg leg.
I don't want a peg leg.
I think they give you one if you're a pirate.
Well, not if you have two legs.
No. I just thought part of the initiation was they give you a peg leg.
What, they cut your leg off and give you a peg leg for initiation?
Yeah.
Those are the new recruits only.
Aye, Stumpy Wendy. She have a peg leg. That kind of stuff. Today's weather, although it looks nice now, is going to change.
Doesn't look that nice.
It's getting grayer. It's getting a little bit on the gray side. But this morning, like when I woke up, I looked outside and I thought, oh, that storm they were talking about, that's not going to happen today. This is way too beautiful out. But
you're
right.
It can change on a dime.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're supposed to get storms this morning and then potential for tornadoes later tonight.
After I have 5 or 5:30, I think.
Yeah, I have a higher vantage point than you guys do.
Yeah, and 7.
Clearer view, and it is a little darker to the west than
it is.
What you
it
can
is.
See.
It was dark at my house, but usually there is a black cloud over my house. So maybe I just saw the one that's there every day.
I wonder what causes that. I'm trying to remember, was it the next door neighbors for a while in the Flintstones that had that? I think the Flintstones had the Gruesomes as their neighbor, and they had a black cloud. And then Bad Luck Schleprock. Also,
you always bring that up, and
the work of Bad Luck. No, he wasn't Jewish. He was prehistoric.
But Schlepp, isn't that a Yiddish
Schleprock,
word?
Schlepprock, yeah. From the German to haul. So I think, I'm pretty sure.
What are you, Billpedia?
Yes. Yes, I'm Billpedia. I am. At 11:35, meteorologist extraordinaire Andy Avalos will break down the weather for us and explain what's going on.
We need someone to break it down.
Break it down.
It doesn't come and hit us.
Yeah. That'll happen later on in the show at 11:35.
I'm already scared. I already have my portable radio and every flashlight. Everything's ready to roll to go in the basement when I get home.
You have to do these things. You know, the one that I always forget, although now I've been better about it, is, and it seems so simple, but we have an umbrella on our patio over the picnic table, and the one time we had really big winds, it lifted up.
Your neighbor
up.
Got like, a new umbrella.
Well, it didn't get that bad, luckily, but you think, well, that's not good. That's just the thing of old wives' tales. That doesn't happen, but it happened to us.
Can I tell you this must be a guy thing? Because Jimmy Mack does not worry about storms too much. I am a freak when it comes to...
Yeah.
Possible tornadoes, and now that they can sort of predict that they may happen,
right.
Conditions are favorable. The first thing he did this morning was go out and crank the umbrella down.
Yeah.
And I said, you never, like, foresee problems. And he goes, oh, no, you gotta put the umbrella down with the storm.
That's how we used to measure the weather when I was growing up as a kid. Is the umbrella up? You know, a storm would start coming. It's like, hey, is the umbrella up? Someone would have to go out there and take it down.
Well, we had, now this happened two years ago. We had one year where that happened, where the umbrella lifted up off of, we just have like a standard picnic table on our patio, and that happened in the summer. And then that winter, we decided, I don't know what we were thinking, because to take your umbrella down for the year only takes 5 minutes, if that.
Oh, you left
right?
it out all year?
We left it out, and it was fine for a while, and then what happened was so much snow accumulated on it that the whole thing just gave way and collapsed. And they're fairly
yeah, they
expensive.
They are pretty
they're a couple
expensive.
Hundred bucks. Yeah. So I learned a lot that day.
That's one of those things where you probably looked at it every day. Ah, I should really lower that.
Steve, it would have taken less than 5 minutes to decrank it, take it out of the table, and put it in the garage.
What are you going to do this weekend? I'm going to take the umbrella down this week.
This is the week.
Right.
I'm going to start on Saturday, and by Sunday, that umbrella is going to be in the garage and put away for the year. I don't know why we didn't do it, and then it's
because you
said
thought
to me
about
one day,
it as you were going somewhere else, probably.
Yeah, I guess so. But she said to me one morning, look outside. And I go, why? What's going on? She goes, just look at the patio for a minute. And the umbrella just, it looked like a 10,000-pound weight had been dropped on it. It was just from snow, but that's all it takes.
You know what you need? My system is Post-it notes.
On everything.
Well, not on the umbrella, because you would just go, oh, wow, I should take. But there's a spot on my kitchen cabinet that anything that needs to be done that day, there is a Post-it note put
out
there.
It's a very strong idea.
I keep Post-it notes in business.
That's a very strong idea. When my parents used to go away on vacation, you would think they would have taken my brother and me, but they did not. When they would go away, like to Las Vegas, where kids are I've been told, not allowed.
Don't they have a baby craps table? It's a lot different than the craps table.
They do. my mom would put notes like you on everything to the point where, like, on a light switch, it would say, turn off when leaving house.
Because
that
sweet.
Never would have occurred to us to
That's
do that.
That's what moms do. I know, but we just, if we're not there, we want to make sure you guys are taken care of.
Please close refrigerator door when not in use. Like that kind of thing where you go, yeah, she's got a point, but between the two of us, my brother and I would have figured that out.
Flush toilet.
Yeah, right. Right. That kind of thing. Lock door so burglars don't get in. That kind of thing.
Well, that you should know.
Yeah, you should know that.
All right, well, the storms are coming, and 312-981-7200. Sue, hang on. We will talk to you after this break here on 720 WGN. Shivering my bones, just thinking about the weather. My bones are shivering.
Wendy, the city is on high alert because the weather is going to change, and it's going to change dramatically, and it's going to ruin everything we know.
No, that's not true.
Right.
Scare tactics, stop it.
Sorry, it's sweeps week.
Hi, Sue.
Hi.
There's a big event going on tonight, isn't there?
I know. My little guy is just dying to go to this Copa America semifinal game between Colombia and Chile. It's such a unique opportunity.
That's soccer,
He's only
right?
worn his little Colombia soccer shirt all year.
That's so cute.
And I just can't quit buy now on the StubHub. I just can't do it yet.
Oh, you're holding out. Yeah, you know.
Yes.
You can't stop your life because of an impending storm. I mean, the good news is we can.
Because then, Wendy, the meteorologists have won. It's true.
It's true, but.
It's true.
I know we can.
They're going for at least 80 a pop.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of frightening. I mean, it's a good thing that we can get these forecasts in advance because really, and we've talked to Tom Skilling and we will talk to Andy Avalos about this later on, they can predict tornadoes before they've even happened.
Yeah, right.
So we know more, but then you're often, like Sue, putting things on hold until you're for sure what's going to happen.
Right.
Do you remember, I think...
Do you guys know what Soldier Field does?
What?
What's their policy?
What is it?
I mean, why don't they just reschedule the game if they know a tornado's coming?
Well they don't know it yet, and that's...
It's a worldwide event tonight, too. Big, big, big game tonight.
Although, remember a year or so ago at White Sox Park, they canceled a game in advance because they anticipated the weather being bad, and then it wasn't bad. But they said hours in advance, well, we're just not going to have a game, and then... It came to be game time, and it was perfect outside.
Yeah, you can't do that, Sue. You got to kind of bite the bullet and decide how much it means to your kid.
The world.
Yeah.
The world.
Because they will move you.
Sure.
I know that it happened at Lollapalooza. I don't know if it, I think it was 2 years ago. But there were terrible torrential rains and a storm warning. There might have even been a tornado warning going off. And people were relocated and brought, I don't know if it was into the Monroe parking garage, but they were brought underground. And then they were able to go back to the concert. They have an emergency plan at Soldier Field. I know they do.
They need one. The Bears play there.
True.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well,
good
what do you think
tonight.
You're going to do?
I don't know. I'm monitoring the StubHub, and I was just so close. And then, of course, I had to call my husband, and he asked, let me check the weather.
So is he the one scaring you off?
I'm looking by now.
What are the tickets going for? Are they face or above face?
I think there, well, not, I didn't check today yet, but yesterday there were some below, actually. And really? I think the prices are going to drop. So
isn't it televised somewhere?
Televised?
Yeah. They do it at my Mexican restaurant. They always televise the soccer games.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's not a problem on channel 194.
See?
But you want to be there in person. This is a big game.
Well, it's a very unique opportunity.
Yeah.
Better
but
be safe
but
than
you'll
sorry.
Get a rain check. I mean, if it does get rained out, and they'll reschedule it at some point, wouldn't they?
Well, I think the difficulty is these games are being played all over the country, and they've got, you had Argentina play USA last night, so they already have established,
right,
you know, where the championship game is going to be. It's like a domino effect. They want to get the game in at all costs.
Yeah, isn't like a baseball game where it won't get rained out. They'll
do what they have to do.
Right, exactly.
Oh, Sue, there's a listener, Cindy, who wants to help you out a little bit. Cindy, you have some information for Sue?
I was hoping, Sue. I'm not a soccer fan. So, sweetheart, if I am giving you misinformation, my bad. But I got to tell you, last April, a few months ago, we knew there was an impending doom on the Cubs-Brewers game. Storms are coming, April 27th. And we wanted those tickets, but we knew it was going to be rained out. StubHub would let their prices go down. Every hour,
wow,
those prices dropped. But when you bought them at the low, low, low price, when it got rescheduled, my game's August 17th. We're talking late season Cubs. I'm behind third base for $28.
That's amazing.
So keep waiting it out.
What's that, honey?
That's what you're saying.
Will.
Keep waiting it out, Sue, because then the prices will go down, and then, you know, if something happens.
Just buy them. Even if the game doesn't happen, just buy them, because I don't know soccer, but don't they have to reschedule that in the same venue?
Well, there will be a reschedule. That's the issue here. It's such a big game. Yeah, you know, they usually play in Latin America, but it's getting, obviously, it's not been played here.
But then they'd have to refund your money, because the event never took place. So you can't lose almost, right?
We're trying to solve all the problems because that's what we do. We should call our show the Midday Couch.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck, everybody. Thank you.
Cindy helping Sue.
It's like, I think Wally Phillips will be proud of us.
Cindy helping Sue used to say that all the time.
Yeah. Yep, so true. We need to take a quick break. Steve will give you the news and then a lot more show. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Katie Rich is here, stand-up comic, writer for Saturday Night Live, and world-class hugger, Katie. Seriously.
I like that.
Boy, do you hug good.
You should lead with that.
First-class hugger, also a stand-up comic and a writer for Saturday Night Live, Katie Rich is here.
I will attest to that because you gave like a rich, genuine, grasping hug.
And you care.
I
do. It's not just a hug. You can tell you genuinely care.
And I absorb some of your pain and
I feel so much better now.
And you should. Yeah. So everyone, you know that. If you come to the show tonight, maybe you'll get a hug.
Will you hug everybody at the show?
Wow.
That's going to take all night.
If I drink.
Then you will.
How about that? Don't you do that?
If I drink, I'll hug everybody.
Do you make lunch dates with people in the audience too, knowing full well you'll never keep them?
No, not lunch dates. For drinks.
After show drink party. Yeah. That's fun.
You do always find, like, especially when I was at Second City, you would always, you know, you're doing the same show every night. So you would find one person in the audience that you were like, I'm doing this show for them. You know what I mean?
What would you base it on, though? How would you decide?
If they were excited or if they seemed sweet or, you know, it was usually like a sweet older woman that it was like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm happy to be here. And you'd just be like, I'm doing this whole thing for you.
That's inspiration, though.
Yeah.
That's your every person who's at the show.
You have to. Yeah, it's not their first time. It's their first time seeing it.
Sure it is.
Right?
It's fresh to them.
Yeah.
But don't you think one of the differences between improv and stand-up is in improv you find the person who's enjoying it the most and you go, I'm playing to them. But in stand-up you find the one person who's not liking it and you go, I got to do something to win that person over.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Or you find the one person that's like yelling things because I think people think stand-up is a two-way street.
Right.
I used to think that.
You know?
I'm sorry. I did. I was not trained in how to be an audience member. My girlfriend Carla Felicia started doing it at the Comedy Womb. We were very young, under 21,
womb?
In Lyons.
Oh my!
A million
God.
Years ago, and she would go to open mic night on Thursday nights, and I would feel like, oh, I can participate. This is like, and then she finally said, "Shut up."
Oh yeah, but you think you're helping?
You do.
And that's the thing. For the most part, like an audience member who's yelling. they think they're helping.
Oh,
they
yeah.
think they're giving you material. They think they're it's. But every once in a while, you see someone who's just a real jerk, and they're crossing the line. They know they're not helping. But
I yeah. tried to help.
I know. That's the thing. I believe that. I believe you tried to help.
Katie,
yes.
how about the guy who, whenever at Second City you'd ask for an occupation, they would always say proctologist
yeah.
and laugh like a hyena because you guys had never heard that before.
High five each other, yeah. basically get carried out of the theater.
Katie, I'm the guy a few years ago, you asked for an occupation and I
oh,
got
like
a hyena.
Oh, like the proctologist
Remember
guy?
That? Yeah,
how
I yelled proctologist.
Are you not famous?
Yeah, is that cool?
How are you not
that
famous?
That was me. I'm the guy who yelled
oh,
proctologist.
Oh, yeah. Dave. Yeah, Dave.
yeah.
But Dave. Yeah, right. that's what we call you. Right. You're awesome.
Katie, does it bug you now when people are on their iPhones in the audience because it's just
yeah,
it happens everywhere, but don't you feel slighted?
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
That would bug me. Do you tell them to put their phone down?
Yeah, we had one. Brad Morris used to, he was on Second City forever, mm-hmm. and he used to, in the blackout, take their phone.
Oh,
and the lights would go down. If they were in the front row, he would just grab them.
I love it.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Yeah. But you do kind of snap and you're like, get off your phone. But some people, now they answer their phone
during the show.
Like, there's no way you're a doctor. Like, you know what I mean? There's
no
way you need to be answering your phone.
Oh, no. We had you on a year ago, and then
yes.
something happened to you that neither Wendy nor I were aware of until after it happened, and that is that you got married.
I did get married. I wasn't aware either. You know,
they didn't
I did.
Tell you.
It'll be a year on July 18th.
Congratulations.
Yes.
What's
That's
the first
fantastic.
Anniversary? Paper?
It's paper.
Like it matters. Here, I'll give you a gift.
I hope
Here's
it's money. Like I want. You, yeah. know,
you want that?
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. Well, I got my anniversary present. Yeah. It's paper. So
You'll get
I,
a Chinese lantern from okay. somebody from a fourth grader.
Probably. Who I hope is not mine.
That'd be crazy.
I don't know.
An origami flower, perhaps?
I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. We'll probably do nothing. I don't know.
No?
You know, we'll do something. I think we'll do something. We met around the same time that we got married. So we kind of... I mean,
different
in
years.
July.
Different years.
Exactly. Around right. that like week in July. So we'll probably do something later. But I think our anniversary falls on a Monday.
Is he also in show business?
God, no.
He is not.
No,
that's better for you?
He does real things. He is a programs director for Recovery on Water, which is a rowing club for women who have breast cancer.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
So that's what he does.
Wow.
And
I got a good man.
And I write jokes. And have low self-esteem, so it's like he balances it out. So.
Yin and yang.
Right? So if I get into heaven, it's not because of...
on his coattails.
It's definitely on his coattails.
How did you meet somebody with that kind of an occupation?
Cause you met in Philadelphia,
oh, you
actually,
did? Yeah.
where all nice guys live.
In
Philadelphia.
The city of brotherly love.
Yeah. No scumbags there.
Nope.
And I was on tour with Second City, and we met through a friend of a friend, and we just ended up staying in touch, and now we're married.
That's congratulations.
Yeah, thank
That's great.
You. Yeah.
That's very
nice. Do
you
have a pet together yet?
We do. We have a pit bull, and her name is Lulu, and she's my world. And if I think really hard, I can think that maybe I gave birth to her. Like I can, like you know what I mean? Like it's my child. Like
it's a little more uncomfortable with four legs.
Is it? Well, I guess also you're giving. It would be like there'd be eight of them, I guess, if I was
right.
True.
You
a litter.
Know what I mean?
You'd have a litter of them.
So yeah. So she's my world, and it's embarrassing.
And can you tell people that pit bulls are not mean dogs? It depends on the dog.
All dogs are mean dogs if you.
If you
train them to be
right.
mean.
Or
like
mistreat them.
You mistreat them.
Right.
I know enough poodle fights to know that's true.
Well, the only dog I've ever been bitten by is a little dog.
Is that
like
right?
Like a chihuahua.
How
yeah.
did that come about? What happened? Why did it bite you? It just came
nuts.
Up to you and bit you?
Like, it was a friend's dog and it just went nuts and it bit me.
Oh. Did you remain friends with the owner?
No, I put the owner down.
Really? You did?
The dog lived.
Wow.
But Aunt Celia had a little chihuahua named Ricky. And all he would do, he thought he was 8 feet tall.
Yeah,
he would
they do.
Yip and nip at your feet every
yeah.
time, at your ankles. He would bite your ankles every time you came
yeah.
to see her.
What do dogs have against people's ankles? Why would that happen?
I don't know.
It doesn't make
they
sense.
They taste good.
I guess or they're showing you, like, I'm in charge.
Yeah.
Instead of beef jerky, it's a human jerky.
I think I'm more pickled.
Oh, yeah.
I'm more of a,
that makes
some
perfect
sort of
sense.
Pickled.
Katie Rich
situation.
Is here. Boy, is she a good hugger. You can also see her do stand-up.
It.
She's a writer for Saturday Night Live. A part of Snubfest, which
yes.
we'll talk about in just a little bit.
Yes.
We want to find out more about Snubfest. And go see her at Zany's tonight. Stick around. More with us, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Katie Rich is here. Katie, is it okay to say local girl made good? Is that okay for the headline? Local girl made good when
yeah.
describing you?
There's
yeah.
radio headlines?
Yeah, there's radio headlines now.
Cool.
Yep. Thanks, Obama.
I know. Thanks, Obama.
Katie Rich.
No, really. Thank you, Obama. Please
Seriously,
don't leave.
Thank you.
Please don't leave.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Good Lord.
Another term?
Stay.
Another term?
Just stay.
You know Katie from Saturday Night Live. She does stand-up comedy. She's a part of Snubfest. Now, Angie McMahon is here, also from Snubfest. And explain exactly. Hi, Angie. The concept of this is beautiful. I love the concept of this.
Oh, thank you. So this is the 10th year of Snubfest. And the whole idea of it is everyone has been rejected from something at some point in their life.
Sure.
And just because you've been rejected doesn't mean that you're not worthy to do something, to be on stage. So it's kind of the underdog story. It's people who've been rejected from other comedy festivals, and they get to perform for Snubfest. And tonight we have our stand-up night. At Zany's at 8 o'clock, we're going to have celebrity guest Tim Kazurinski.
Yeah.
And then our
local boy done good.
Yeah. And then, of course, our special performance by Katie Rich, who's doing Rejected Weekend Update jokes to close out the show. and then on Friday at 8 and 10, we have our sketch comedy and our solo sketch comedy at Under the Gun Theater. And on Saturday at 9, we have our storytelling at Under the Gun, and then Sunday is the best of the fest at Under the Gun Theater.
And how do we find out where to go and all the offerings? Is there a particular website that's best to go to?
If you go to snubfest.com, we have all the performers listed as well as the tickets on sale.
Excellent.
And then Katie's going to be performing tonight at Zany's, and go to chicago.zanies.com as well for her info. All right, my work's done.
You just. We had your friend Colin Jost in last week, and we were saying to Colin, I told him, I think one of the funniest things on Saturday Night Live all last year was on the last episode that Fred Armisen hosted during Weekend Update. They did a montage of the jokes that
we did.
Were a little too racy for television, but they did them all at once.
Yeah, we did. And those weren't the worst ones.
Really?
Either. Yeah.
Those were really pushing the envelope,
they
though.
They were. And they were, I mean, even we were like, the audience was going to hate you if you do this joke. Like, why? And they're like, we want to do it.
Yeah.
So it ended up being fine. The ones they picked actually weren't too crazy. But the ones that usually that I write that don't get picked usually should probably be told by a woman.
Really?
Yeah. It does make a difference,
though. Because if when a guy says it, you're kind of like, oh. Especially if someone like Colin says it, like, you know, he's
so sweet.
He's so sweet, and I think you'd want to punch, like, as a guy, didn't you want to punch him in his face? Because he's so cute.
He was really cute.
He was really
so
cute.
He restrained me.
Cuter in real life,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, like he's cute, and he went to Harvard. And,
yeah, there's
and
that.
As a man, I would want to punch him. I want to punch him sometimes, just as a fellow human. But yeah, some stuff doesn't work coming out of his mouth.
When you write a joke that you're very, very proud of, and for whatever reason it gets rejected, how much campaigning do you do to try to convince them, no, it really is good, you got to put it in?
Usually none, because the thing is, you're writing 200 jokes a week, right?
So, jeez.
So you move on. It doesn't matter. If it's not working, sometimes things get pulled because a sponsor won't let us do it, or because it bumps with something else in the show, or they can't say a certain word right, like they stumble over a word. It's not necessarily because the joke was bad. There was one that I did, though. I've only fought once for a joke.
Do you remember what it was?
I do remember what it was. I'll always remember what it was. It's a little racy, but it was about this priest in Italy who needed, he would have these affairs with these boys, and he would make them pretend to be Judas. And he ended up going to prison and for a long time, and the joke was, needless to say, that priest did not get off easy. And I just love this joke so much.
Yeah.
And I flew on the floor screaming, you know.
Oh, no.
And we ended up, actually, they ended up trying it. And we were over time, so we had to cut something. And everyone was like, we can't tell. What are we going to do? We can't cut that. Katie's going to lose her mind. And then I was like, cut it.
It's really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you say funny. You write 200 jokes a week, which, oh, my God, kudos to you. That's a ton.
Well, no, most of them are bad.
Whatever. Just the effort. But that's why I was wondering if there has to be one or two that you dwell on that has been cut. But that was the one.
Yeah, well I know that doesn't sound like that. But it just, a lot of times you realize that they get cut for reasons that are out of your control.
Right.
And there's no point in arguing it.
You're very zen.
Today, I am, maybe.
That could change. You know what I've always wished about Saturday Night Live is that there was some
here
way...
here we go. You wish it was funny like it was in the 70s? Is that what
I don't want
fine.
It.
It's fine. It's meandering back. We had a few years where it wasn't that funny. It's a really strong cast now.
I wish so badly there was a way to know who wrote what sketch or what joke. And I mean, with a movie, it's easy.
Yeah.
But with Saturday Night Live, I would love to know who's responsible for some of my favorite jokes or sketches.
You can sort of figure that out now.
Online? Is there some listening?
Yeah, a lot of times if something is really, really, really popular, the writers will either maybe do an interview about it or something.
Yeah?
So it's becoming a little bit more transparent. But I think that comes from the idea that we all do pitch on stuff.
Yeah.
So while someone would write something on Saturdays, we're all pitching jokes and the whole, it is a team effort, you know, with rewrites and stuff like that.
Right.
So I think that's why they don't say like written by blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Cause that gets murky there.
If you did it after every joke, if a guy,
I wrote that one.
Did you enjoy it? That was my work.
We have had thoughts of like, sometimes if I write a joke, to then like having me come out and be like, a woman wrote that. So do you feel like you can laugh now? I wrote it. The girl.
Right. Why isn't that happening? Because, I mean, not every time, but that would be really funny to see and really cool,
you know,
for women.
Seth is doing something very similar. Seth Meyers is doing something very
Damn
similar.
Damn, Seth did it first.
Mm. Seth ruined my life.
Ruined comedy. The guy ruined comedy.
He ruined comedy, ruined my life. Seth is a wonderful person, and I will scratch your eyes out if you say anything. Different about Seth.
He's a cutie, too.
He's so cute. Mm-hmm. He's so nice.
There have been periods where people have called Saturday Night Live a boys' club. You've been there a couple of years. It's not anymore, is it?
There's more boys than girls.
Yeah, there is.
That are in sketches.
There is.
Yeah, I mean, but there's more guys in comedy than there's girls in comedy. So you think about it that way.
But you've heard Sarah Silverman's story, right, where she was writing for the show.
I think it's gotten a lot better. I think with Tina Fey, that whole generation, that really made a big difference, yeah.
Yeah.
But there are more boys than there are. I mean, the guy in charge is a guy.
Yeah. Lorne Michaels is kind of a guy.
He's a guy.
Kind of a guy?
Yeah.
It's not Lorne.
Sort of a guy.
Lorne.
Yeah, Lorne Michaels.
Yeah.
He's kind of a guy. Is the experience what you thought it would be? Like when you were growing up thinking, I want to be a part of Saturday Night Live, is it kind of what you thought it would be, or is it different?
No, it's nothing like I thought it would be. The thing was, I always wanted to be on main stage at Second City. That was my goal, and that's all I wanted. And then I got it, and I didn't die, so I had to do something else. So,
right.
It's very different, especially working with Weekend Update. It's much more of a team feel. The people I work with are fantastic, and so we have our own little nerd herd community. Like, it's a little show within a show.
Yeah.
So I think my experience is pretty different, because also our segment will always be on.
Yeah.
It's not going to get cut. So whether what we wrote specifically gets cut, that's one thing. But to know that every week you're going to doing something, I think, really changes your mindset.
That would be heartbreaking because you have to pitch things, obviously, and, you know, I don't see enough Keenan, quite honestly, and he has some
Keenan
funny...
unbelievable.
And he's a sweet guy, too, isn't he? I read some article on him in Southern Living or something, and he's just a sweet, genuine person.
You think I'm a good hugger?
Yeah.
Really?
Is he a better hugger than you are?
By far.
Oh, bring him by.
I mean, truly. Like, he should go on hug tour. Remember, isn't there that woman that just, like, hugs people? People wait in line to hug. Like,
there was a guy, Leo Biscaglia, who used to just hug people.
When friends and influence.
He's a big hugger.
But Keenan is fantastic.
Yeah?
I couldn't say enough good things about him.
But he's been on for how many years? I'm sure he's pitched things that don't go well. That's got to be heartbreaking.
It is and it isn't. I mean, it depends. When you've been doing it for so long, like he has, I think you realize, like, that's how it goes.
And it's not personal.
And it's not personal. I mean, I don't know, maybe sometimes it, but you know what I mean? Like, there's so many other factors that go into it. It's not just like I don't think it's funny. So, you reach a stage, but then you go through, you know, it's dips and you get where you're just like, oh, nothing I do is working. And then you get out of it.
And that happens to everybody
at
work.
It happens to everybody, yeah.
Whatever your work may be.
So SNL is also work. It's also a job. So don't think that...
With long, long, long hours.
With long hours, you don't sleep.
Yeah.
And you turn into... You eat sugar and... and just...
Do you have snack trucks that come by like they do when they're writing for Hollywood shows?
We used to before the writer's strike.
Oh.
Everybody screwed that up. No, but there's, like, on Wednesdays when we have our read-through, there's just a full, like, a table as big as you could bury people in it. It's so big, and, like, it's just covered in snacks and sandwiches and chips. And even, I'm a human being, you know what I mean? Like, if you're not, like, first of all, I assume I'm going to live in a gutter one day, so you see free food, you're
You can't turn down free food, even if it's not food of your choice.
You're going to eat it.
You have to.
Like, they always have, like, a lentil salad, and I'm like, maybe I should take that home.
Would your husband to be, or your husband, as of a year ago, would he eat it? Is he a healthy eater?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, no, he would be like, please stop bringing home food. You're an insane person.
That's beautiful. A woman thing. We always try to fit it in our purse or wrap it in a napkin.
Yeah, I am that person who, like,
you pull your sleeve down a little so nobody sees you carrying
it. Put the chicken
up
there.
Right. Kind of, so nice to see you.
Yeah.
It's so nice to see
you. Anytime you're in town, you're always
welcome.
And
Angie, nice to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Go see Katie Rich at Zanies tonight. Zanies.com has all your ticket information there. And then Snubfest is going on this weekend. Snubfest.com for everything you need there. Angie, thank you. Katie, great to see you again. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you guys so much.
We'll take a quick break. Steve with the news next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
And happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Huff and it's Wendy Snyder, along with our friend Dane Neal. You know Dane from AccessAppetite.com and a frequent contributor to this very station and this show in particular. Hi, Dane. Nice to see you.
It's good to see you guys, too, especially with the impending doom and gloom. Right?
The end of the world as we know it.
I'm glad to be. If this is it, I want to be with you guys, so
thank
I'm glad
you.
To be here.
I love your rain slicker and galoshes, by the way.
Well,
it's a good look.
It's my homage to the Gorton's Fisherman, who was one of my mentors growing up.
You look like the love child of the Gorton's of Gloucester Fisherman and Paddington Bear.
If you look closely, I've got him under my arm.
Excellent.
This segment with Dane Neal, by the way, sponsored by Resurrection University.
Dane, you have brought Charlie McKenna. Charlie, of course, of Lily's Q, fine restaurant. Hi, Charlie. Thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And the reason is, not that you need a reason to bring Charlie in, but there is a reason.
He's also a fan of the Gorton's Fisherman.
Sure.
He's trying to figure out a way to make a barbecue version. No, I'm just kidding. Charlie is here, and you mentioned great restaurants and sauces. Like, his sauces are bar none. They are on the planet Earth, barely any planet. I haven't traveled a lot galactically, but his sauces are the best ones out there. He does like the full range, you know, the smoky, the Carolina, you know, even the ivory sauce and some of the best stuff out there on the barbecue side. And don't just take it from me. Take it from, you know, some of the best competitions like Memphis in May.
Yeah.
You know, he just did great with pork shoulder out there. He is a champion barbecue guy. Lucky and blessed to have him in Chicago.
You must hate to hear this, Charlie. Hearing this sort of praise is
terrible.
Awful, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like it's a broken record.
No, Charlie's like, keep going.
It's just
on,
a normal day for me.
Sure.
Well,
how is this possible? What are you doing that would make any sauce that you'd create just that good?
A lot of passion behind it.
Yeah.
A lot of care.
A lot of history.
Yeah.
A lot of history. And then consistency, right? Always creating it the same way and putting it out the same way for people.
The thing with sauces is your taste really may vary because I'm not big into the smoky. I like sweet and tangy. Mm-hmm. And you have to take that into consideration, what you have.
Yeah. So, I mean, we do, like, my favorite regions around the country. So we have 6 different sauces. So we kind of hit the gamut for everyone. The other cool thing is in the restaurant, we have them on the table. So, like, you can make your own sauce, basically. You can mix Carolina Gold, which is a mustard base, with hot smoky, that's a Memphis style sauce, and then make, you know, I don't know, halfway in between Tennessee.
But this is becoming a huge trend. Two of the last 3 restaurants I've eaten at in the last couple of weeks have exactly what you're saying, which is 4 to 6 or 8 sauces there on the table. It's up to you. Pick what you want.
Yeah, I mean, as restaurateurs, and especially in barbecue, people find out, everyone has a different taste.
Yeah.
And I want everyone to leave Lily's Q as a happy camper. So if I can let you control the sauces, one, I let you see our meat, you know, bare, and you get to taste that how it is and how it's supposed to be, and then you can mix your own sauces or just go with one that we've already created, then it's a better experience for the guests, which is basically what every restaurateur is trying to create.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, you get a lot of acclaim for the sauces, but the meat is there too, award-winning barbecue as well. So it's always a great time here in Chicago to talk to Charlie McKenna and Lily's Q, but they are going to be front and center with a new event. This is the first time that it's been here in Chicago with a recognizable figure in the food world. Rachel Ray is bringing her event
Yummo.
Feedback, right? So it's going to, and it is, I don't want to say equal parts, but it is a music event, and so it's a concert with the food side of it kind of front and center, and Charlie's going to be a big part of that, too. And, you know, we got a chance to talk to Rachel Ray, so a little bit later on at the Dane Neal Show here at WGNplus.com, you'll hear a little bit of insight into the event and what people can expect. But on the food side, and Charlie, you've been friends with Rachel for a long time. You've attended the event. It's been at in Austin mm-hmm. before. This is the first time here in Chicago. What are we in store for?
I think you're in store for something great. I mean, Rachel obviously puts on great events. She's a great party, great host. And she, down in Austin, what we did was she's really into music. So I would almost say this is more of a music event that happens to have her food mm-hmm. Because of who she is. And she gets great bands to come in and play, and then she does some bites. She also offers, like, other people like myself to provide food for the guests. And it's really a great time to come out, listen to music, enjoy food, and just have a, you know, especially because it's going to be at Lincoln Park Zoo. It's going to be a great venue.
Oh, fun.
And I think Rachel puts on a great party.
I love her little cookware that I've gotten at the Jewel. I saved my stamps to get, not cookware, but serveware, I guess.
Uh-huh.
What a fun party. Now, it's at Lincoln Park Zoo, as you mentioned, and when is it happening?
Saturday, June 25th. It's 6 to 11 p.m. At Lincoln Park Zoo. Tickets are $49.50 for general admission, and before we get done with this segment, we'll have, for listeners of me on the Bill and Wendy Show, we've got two tickets.
Oh, you know, nice.
So two tickets for people to book.
One pair of tickets.
Okay. Or
it gets confusing.
You can split them up. That's right. And on the music side, as Charlie mentioned, you've got Grace Potter, Lee Fields and the Expressions, Los Colonias, Al Scorch, and not just barbecue on that side. Like I said, Rachel's going to be having some offerings, and Giuseppe Trentori from GT will be there as well, yeah. So a really nice range.
The restaurant community, Charlie, always gets along. You would think they'd be at each other's throats, but for some reason everybody gets along very harmoniously. How come?
I mean, I think Chicago's just that kind of town. I think in other cities it may be a little bit different, but here, I think everyone, obviously we have a healthy competition is what I like to say. We like to compete against each other, but when it comes down to it, to doing events and street festivals, I think just the community in general draws together and we try to put on the best for, you know, the Chicagoans and, you know, do things that other cities may not accomplish.
Yeah.
And this event has been 10 years. She has been doing this event at South by Southwest in Austin. This is the first time that the event has traveled. Could have gone anywhere. Would have been very popular in, you know, New York, L.A., Des Moines, Iowa. It would have been great anywhere, but they chose Chicago. As someone who knows her really well, what was the thought process there? Did she say if she's going to go anywhere, like Chicago would be the place, or did you talk her into it saying, this is easier for me?
I mean, it's definitely easier for me because last time I had to drive a 27-foot trailer for 20 hours to get to Austin. But I think what she realized is, one, Chicagoans love music.
Yeah.
Two, they love food. And then three, the summertime is outdoors for us.
Yeah.
We only have, you know, 3 or 4 months of days to get out. So if she had started it anywhere outside of Austin, I think this was her first priority. Just because of those three reasons, and it's going to get, you know, mass appeal. Everyone loves Rachel. She's a great person, has great shows and great food. So I think Chicago was just a city that kind of drew towards her with all the outside influences.
We need to take a quick break. We'll talk more food with Dane Neal and Charlie McKenna of Lily's Q. And don't forget, we'll give away some tickets to this fantastic fest. So stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Phil Leff and it's Wendy Snyder along with Dane Neal from AccessAppetite.com.
One more thing, Bill.
Yeah, sure.
Even when you can't be there, they are at Chicago Tribune Sports Plus with more coverage from more journalists than anywhere else in the city. Join now at ChicagoTribune.com/SportsPlus.
So Dane Neal is here and Charlie McKenna is here from Lily's Q. Dane telling us about a great event coming up with Rachel Ray that combines both food and music, two of the best things on the planet, all at one stop. Why not?
Right. Yeah. And also drinks, too. Beverages. So food, beverages, and music, which is the trifecta for mm-hmm. fun, no matter where you go. And so the tickets are, and you can go to RachelRay.com for tickets, $49.50 for the general admission tickets, and that is going to get you access to two tasting rooms as well as the free food served by sponsors. So you still get to eat with that $49.50. Plus all of the music, and then the big ticket, $299. It sounds kind of expensive, but when you think about what you'd spend at, you know, a concert when you're buying, you know, $11 beers, and,
right?
You know, boy, that adds up quickly.
It does.
And glow sticks. That's my biggest expense.
Does your wife still get you
every
glow
time
sticks?
I always get, if I'm good, I get a glow stick.
And T-shirts and merchandise, of course, those aren't included.
Yeah.
But Charlie, do they have a merchandise booth there? Because Wendy's a big fan of the cookware that Rachel Ray has. Are they going to be selling some of that on site?
I'm not 100% about the cookware, but I have been to the one in Austin where they were, like, actually passing out T-shirts that say Rachel Ray feedback on them. And,
nice.
Kind of some free swag.
It's feedback, nice. Right? Not feedback?
Feedback.
Oh.
Feedback. Like, you know, like
oh,
music.
Because
like,
I heard feedback because you're eating and you're having music.
They
and
give
I
you
thought...
a feedback.
Oh, okay.
That's the deluxe ticket.
So now the it's called the big ticket bill.
Yeah.
Big ticket gets you unlimited food and drink and access to, and Charlie, you mentioned it off the air, a private viewing deck and express entry. So no lines, super close access to the music, unlimited food. And
that
food
is the key.
Not only from Charlie, but great vendors, purveyors, and, of course, Giuseppe Trintori from GT. So all of that stuff. Plus, they've got some mixologists in there that are doing custom drinks from Mary Giuliani, bites from Chef, mentioned Giuseppe, and sweet treats from Bang Bang Pie Shop and biscuits. And so you will leave with your head filled with music and your stomach filled with everything else. And a free T-shirt, maybe, if you're lucky
maybe.
To catch it from the gun.
Maybe.
And you have decided you're going to share a pair of tickets with our listeners?
Yes. Yes.
You're generous to a fault, Dane Neal.
Just a pair. So, right. But anybody can go to RachelRay.com. I don't think it's completely sold out yet, maybe. But maybe the fifth caller, maybe the eighth caller. I'm not sure. Charlie, what's your favorite number? What's your lucky number? Do you have a luck
seven.
Number?
Seven. All right, caller seven right now? Do it right now?
Well, we can before the...
Before the segment's over.
No.
Oh, go on.
Oh, okay, so this is coming up this weekend on the 25th and Saturday, but Charlie is traveling around the country as an ambassador for barbecue to some of the greatest barbecue events out there on the competition side. And I did want, you know, for those people out there that want to get into that, so that would be interesting to hear, like, what the thought process on that, because you've got a lot of, I mean, there's some risk, right, if you're not doing well, but you were validated with some success.
Yeah, I mean, there is a competition circuit for barbecue. Memphis Amaze the World Championships, which we won this year in Pork Shoulder. But, yeah, you can have a lot of fun. I mean, me and my dad started that as our golf together. That was sort of our time to hang out together. And it's a lot of camaraderie at these events, and you see the same teams from around the country, and we meet our friends and who we haven't seen in a year. So there's a lot to be put behind it, and it's more than just, you know, cooking great barbecue. It's also about the camaraderie with all the other people.
For those people that, you know, are in their backyard and think they're doing a good job, like, what is the way to get into the competition side? Bill, I'm telling you, Wendy, it's huge. It is like this whole huge sport. That's going on with competition.
Yeah, Memphis and May, there was 235 teams.
Really?
2 miles of barbecue cookers down the Mississippi River in Tom Lee Park off in Memphis. So
you wouldn't think there were that many different styles. I mean, there really is, but 235 people
that's
just cooking
serious.
Stuff.
Not people, Wendy, teams, you know, where there's like four or five guys and they smoke it all night. For the American Royal that I've covered before, it's 700 teams are there for that.
Which is huge, right? A lot of
just
beer going
smoking
down.
All night. It's like a fish concert.
Yeah,
so we're smoking for 4 hours.
Yeah. We started basically 8 in the morning on Friday, and then turn in is at 11 a.m. on Saturday.
Wow.
So we smoke all night long.
Wow.
And can you adjust the smokiness?
You can by how you
what
if you,
use? You
wrap the meat or if you cover the meat at some point. Usually meat doesn't get any more smoke after 150 degrees internal temperature because the pores just don't allow it to go in. So you could actually pack more wood in the beginning to try and pump some more smoke onto the meat, or you can layer it back and see. You know, I use smoke as a flavoring agent, like salt or pepper.
Yeah.
So I want it to be balanced, not just boom smoke in your face.
Right. Some of the stuff, I'm sorry, it's just too smoky. It's like you're eating a charcoal briquette.
Yeah.
Really?
That's a bad one. Yeah.
And the names are catchy too. Boom smoke. In your face is probably a competition team.
No. Yeah. Oh, man, they come up with all sorts of names. I mean, at one point, our name was actually Holy Sow. And we had like
it.
A pig with black glasses on it.
Yeah.
That's very Harry funny. Carey's found out about it in that way.
Oh, no.
It's a crazy thing, too. So 700 teams for American Royal, for Memphis and May, 200-plus teams. And the only people, it's not for people. Like, normal fans don't get to eat any of the food. It's just the judges.
That's it?
Yeah.
Because the reason is there's so many teams, it would be hard to control if someone got sick in the health department. So they really don't like the competition teams to feed the guests that are walking around. Yeah. I mean, if you make friends with people, a lot of times people will come up and just start talking to us, and we'll be like, hey, here, try this. But there's no set where we're selling. To the public, we're just mainly cooking for the competition, and then they have booths where they're actually selling.
Is this the best smelling event of the year? I can't imagine anything smelling better.
If you like the smell of smoke, which after a while you kind of get immune to it, I don't even smell it anymore. I'll leave the restaurant. People are like, God, you smell like the restaurant. I'm like, I don't even smell it anymore. But like, if you look, the best picture is like about 3 o'clock in the morning, you'll stand outside your trailer and you'll look down 2 miles, and all you see is this haze rising because the lights from downtown Memphis, Beale Street, are coming off, and you can just see all this smoke from 2 miles of cookers. Looks it's like really, it's pope. Actually a beautiful sight.
Right, it's a new pope. So for those, you have to be a judge, and that's certainly worth, I guess, the price of the education of getting in on the judging side. But in order to have people enjoy it, Charlie is starting. You got a brand new restaurant opening up.
Yeah, we do. It's called Dixie. It's going to be in the old Tekashi space, which is on Armitage in Damon.
Yeah.
And that's an old single family home that we've turned into a house that looks like Charleston or Savannah. And we're actually doing, I'm actually leaving the barbecue to be at Lily's, and now we're going to do, what I call the evolution of Southern food. So we're going to really bring in the Southern food that people don't really associate with the South, which is vegetables, seafood.
Yeah.
Stay away from the fried chicken fried steak, because that's sort of what we do at Lily's.
Right.
And really, you know, get people into the low country in another version of what, you know, Southern food can be.
Grits? Will there be grits?
There will be grits from a small farm in South Carolina that I ship up, actually. And there'll be things from, you know, Nashville hot sweetbreads to cream corn to all sorts of the vegetables and a lot of stuff. Field peas and Carolina gold rice and a lot of things that people are like, that's Southern. But actually, when
but it is.
But
it is.
Great.
What's the seafood, Charlie? You mentioned
so we'll do a lot of, like, shrimp. Pickled shrimp, boiled shrimp. We'll also do a lot of oysters. We'll do a lot of redfish and that type of fish that comes out of the coastal waters down there.
Yeah. Some Cajun influence or not?
We'll have some minor Cajun influences into some dishes. We're sort of not pigeoning ourselves to, like, one thing. We're going to take a lot of Southern influences and then do food that I used to do back in my day when I worked at True and Avenues and those type of style restaurants.
My mother-in-law is from Corinth, Mississippi, so I have to bring her to Dixie. She will love it.
Oh.
When does that open?
Roughly, we're estimating like 3 to 4 weeks right now.
Wow.
Just finishing up construction, and after July 4th, we'll, you know, sort of do our trial runs and then get going.
And to show Charlie's commitment to the cuisine and that he's completely legit, he actually has a tattoo of, it looks like a shrimp or a crawfish or something on there.
It is a shrimp on my forearm, and I also have a Duroc pig on the inside. So
I thought
sort of covered
the gamut. I'm glad they're tattoos.
Oh,
wow, that's amazing.
Those are some pretty big bird marks.
You know you're made for it.
Yeah. Boy, this sounds good. Every part of it sounds good. Right now, give us a call at 312-981-7200, and if you're caller 7, as Dane promised, you'll get 2 tickets to this event.
Rachel Ray's feedback coming up on Saturday, 6 to 11, over in at the Lincoln Park Zoo.
So nice to see you again, Charlie.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Dane, always a pleasure.
Thanks. You too. Stay safe in the storm.
Yes. Good advice. Solid advice, Dane. Thank you. A quick break. Call now. Be caller 7, 312-981-7200. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Hey, we have a weather warning for you before we talk to Andy Avalos, our weather friend. This came out today. Kevin found this. Chicago is under a flash flood watch, which is hard to say. Heavy downpours forecast for today. And this calls for an overflow action day.
Is today an overflow action day?
Do you know what that means?
I do not.
First, let me tell you, it's recommended by Friends of the Chicago River. There's so many friends out there.
Friends of the Chicago River doesn't want the Lucas Museum, Wendy.
I know, but there's Friends of the Parks.
Yeah.
Why are there no Friends of the Bill and Wendy Show? Could someone start a Facebook page?
Very covert group. Very low key.
Yeah, just you and I are in it.
I'm not even in it.
Are you all right,
I
am.
You're in it.
Because of all the city's water, it travels through the same pipes. Cutting consumption can make a difference when stormwater threatens to overwhelm the system.
Uh-huh.
So here's what they're saying. Don't run the dishwasher and don't flush your toilets as frequently as normal.
Is that right?
So what is the saying? Number one. Well, leave it alone.
Yeah, you can't really
number two
elaborate, right?
Get
no,
rid of it.
Don't. Yeah, don't.
I can't do the real rhyme.
No.
But if you have a storm drain in the street outside your home, and we do this, we check to make sure it's cleared of debris, because I'm telling you, the streets in our area flood so crazily, which thank God we now have PermaSeal, because we would get 2 feet of water in our basement.
That's awful.
And it was just because the storm sewers couldn't keep up with the rain.
Right.
I didn't think about not flushing the toilet or not running the dishwasher.
So when you'd invite me to the house for a pool party, that's all it was going to be in the basement? That was it?
Technically, it's a built-in pool.
Yeah, I guess.
Better than above ground.
No, that's true. That's very true.
So Andy Avalos is coming in because this is going to be our first significant storm of the summer, I believe.
It is. You're right. Yeah.
But all the warnings, you know, this is weird because I think Andy got snatched up by a storm because I just saw him walking in.
He's in the building.
Well, I saw him outside with the best double-tiered umbrella I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because, of course, he'd have to have a good one.
He's in the business. How would it look if he didn't?
That would be bad. But we're right. going to find out all about it. It's raining now. Kim kicked it off and said it was raining at the 11:30 news. It's been drippy and yucky, and it's supposed to be worse than I thought. Clear up, and then tonight can be torrential storms.
Tonight, they're guessing somewhere between 5 and 5:30 tonight. It gets really bad, and it stays that way for several hours. It doesn't look terrible right now, but like I said, when I woke up early this morning, I looked outside, and it was as sunny as it could possibly be, and I thought, well, everyone was wrong about the storm. We've got a great day ahead of us, but it's getting pretty bleak.
It's a coming. And yeah. Overflow action day. Take shorter showers and install a low-flow shower head.
Mm-hmm.
Turn off the faucet when you're not using it while brushing your teeth or washing your face or scrubbing dishes.
All right. I can do that.
Honestly, I'm terrible about that. Our water bill is so high. Do you turn the faucet off when you're brushing your teeth? I let it run.
You know, for a while, I would leave it on while I was shaving, and then I realized I don't really need to do that, so I've stopped doing that.
But brushing your teeth?
Yeah, there's no reason, right? Once you get the toothbrush wet, you're covered.
Wear clothing like jeans more than once before washing.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Oh, God, everybody does it. You're an exception to the rule.
What? I wash my clothes while I'm wearing them sometimes.
Well, you'll be able to do that.
I'll just walk through a car wash with whatever I'm wearing.
No, today's rain. Andy Avalos, we just saw you walking in with the best double-tiered umbrella. Is that a golf umbrella?
On the planet.
It was a gift.
It's awesome, Mercedes-Benz, by the way.
It is. That's right. They gave it to me as a gift, so I have to give them a plug. Or do I?
That's a that's a professional umbrella, Andy.
It is.
You did all right.
Well, you know, when I got off the air a little while ago, I wanted to run over here, and I thought, you know, it's raining outside, and there's nothing worse than being a weatherman and being caught outside without an umbrella.
Right.
Because people will stop and say, hey,
you should have known.
You should have known better.
And you do know, and we know so much in advance now. If you just watched the award-winning NBC5 meteorologist Andy Avalos on TV, he's now in our studio. And this is a significant storm that's coming our way today, isn't it?
It certainly is. You know, this is coming in pieces. I get up at midnight. I'm usually in the office by 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched the first wave that had some very significant thunderstorms associated with it overnight coming out of Iowa into west central Illinois. A lot of lightning, some strong winds, torrential rain. But the energy and most of the storm stayed southwest of Chicago proper. But we did have rain last night and early this morning, mainly in the western portion of the metro area and the southern burbs. Upwards of an inch of rain fell there, and the city got very little. So the rain we're getting across the area now is the second in a series of waves coming through. Once this one passes, we're likely to have a dry period for 3 or 4 hours with just some scattered light showers. That'll help to set the stage for the main event, which comes late this afternoon, say between 5 and 10 o'clock.
You know what's cool about talking to Andy in person, and I don't know how you do this, but maps come up behind you when you tell these stories. I don't know how that happens.
It's actually flashcards that I have.
See, I am a bit of a weather freak, and I love weather. I think it's really cool, and you are able to predict things so much more in advance. We've talked about this last time you came in. Before, it was like you get a little heads up that there is a tornado spotted somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tornadoes, it's in the forecast. There may be a chance for a tornado mm-hmm. later in the day. Is that just because hot air and cold air is coming together at that point?
See, she is a weather wizard.
I really am.
Really?
She pays attention to this stuff.
I do.
Well, actually, it's a combination of things that we're looking at, and it is a very complex system that we're dealing with today. But when you look at all the parameters from the surface, and I always describe the atmosphere as pancakes because it's in layers. I like to stack mine really high.
Oh, yeah.
But in case, you know, what happens here at the ground is always affected by what's happening above us. And so at the surface, we have a south-to-southwest flow that extends from the Gulf of Mexico all the way into central Illinois. So there's a deep moisture source, some very warm, humid air, but it's running into some slightly cooler air here in the northern portion of Illinois, and we get two different wind speeds in two different directions called convergence. The upper winds aloft are out of the northwest, and mm-hmm. so the pieces of energy in the jet stream are riding in from the northwest to the southeast, crossing northern Illinois. So when you get that convergence of the warm, humid air meeting with those wind flows and the upper dynamics in the atmosphere from the jet stream lifting all of this like a big vacuum cleaner, that helps to lift these storms and create very powerful updrafts, and that fuels these storms. So that's what we're anticipating later today to take place. And so when you get what we call shear or rotation of the atmosphere, a change of wind speed and direction with elevation as we stack those pancakes, you get rotation in these big storms, and that's
spinning
what spins
pancakes.
Up. That's what spins up tornadoes.
Yep.
How does that make that restaurant tie-in? Huh?
From the old days?
I know. You had the best breakfast place in Lamont. It really was good.
Andy, how long does it take take for a tornado to form? And they must have this on video somewhere, right? I've never seen it happen, but how long does it take to happen?
Every individual tornado is different. Some of them literally will go, and this was just the case recently, where a tornado went from basically a rope stage, which is that very thin tornado that we see in initial stages, to a wedge tornado like that. Literally within a matter of minutes. Jeez. Now, that's more unusual, but typically, you know, a tornado will develop in a matter of minutes, but it could take hours because of the individual storm may develop in one particular location, grow over time, and then when the conditions are right, you get enough shear, enough rotation, that's when the funnel cloud forms, usually comes out of the base of the wall cloud, and then it touches down. That's when it becomes officially a tornado. So that's the difference between a funnel cloud and a tornado is actual contact with the earth.
And what are some of the warning signs? I mean, that sky does turn like a green muckety muck color.
Yeah, it does. You know, and that really has a lot to do with what's going on in the upper levels of the atmosphere. You have rain, you have hail, you have refraction of light. And typically, as the spectrum of the light gets bent with hail, you get other colors of the light spectrum filtered out. And that's why you get that green hue to the air because of the bending of the refraction of light in the atmosphere due to raindrops and hail. So when you get that dark, ominous-looking green, it's generally an indicator that there's hail and large hail at that aloft, and that's always, not always, but as a rule of thumb, a precursor to a tornado.
That calm before the storm, that phrase, that's legit, isn't it? It gets really calm before it. So why would that be? Why would it be so extreme from calm to just chaos?
Well, you know, and again, there are a number of different things that are happening. How many times have you yourself been outside on a hot day and nothing going on? Sun's boiling, you're out there, it's 95 degrees, and then later in the afternoon you start to see those clouds building off into the horizon.
Yeah.
A couple hours pass if you're out on the golf course, and within an hour or two the skies are growing dark, and you know that there's a thunderstorm approaching, but before it gets to you, it's nice and calm, but the wind starts picking up, and all of a sudden the temperature drops dramatically.
Uh-huh.
I know you've had that happen
totally
to you before.
You totally can feel that. It's like, because you always say, oh my God.
What
it's,
happened?
It's freezing now.
Yeah, and what is it really happening? It's on the leading edge of a thunderstorm or a gust front coming out of the lower edge of that thunderstorm, and that rain-cooled air from aloft, and we're pulling air from 20 or 30,000 feet or higher in the atmosphere, rushing out of the base of that thunderstorm. So when it hits the ground, it spreads out, and it's basically a mini cold front created by the thunderstorm. So your temperature could drop 20 degrees, and then within a matter of minutes, you're going to get a downpour, and more than likely, you'll get some hail, and if there's going to be a tornado, it would generally come after that. But that's generally the calm before the storm before
that's
that
it.
Happens.
You good for time? We have to take a quick break.
Sure.
People have questions for you.
March on.
Andy
right.
Avalos is here. You can give us a call at 312-981-7200 if you have any questions or comments. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Kevin, Andy Avalos likes your choice
very
for a
much.
Song.
God, it was Michael's idea.
Oh, very nice.
There should be a CD, Andy, and maybe you've already put a compilation together of all weather-related songs.
That's Riders on the Storm.
Yep.
Yeah, the list just goes on, right?
It's Raining Men.
It is.
Bill, that's a different concept.
I don't know.
You can put what you want on your weather CD from KTEL.
All right.
Andy's is going to be different. Kevin, did you have a question for Andy Avalos? Oh, I thought you said people had questions.
Yeah, many, I'm sure. And have nothing to do with the weather.
No. Just in general.
Just in general.
Right.
You know, we're talking about the threat for strong to severe weather, and it's not uncommon for it to happen this way. I just want to kind of bring this up. But remember last year on this very date, we also had a severe weather outbreak. And in Coal City, we had a devastating tornado move through the area there.
Yeah.
So it's not uncommon for this to happen. And this will be, again, the second time that Coal City was hit because they also had a tornado back in 2013, if you recall.
My wife's family, my wife and her family grew up there, and it's just, it's always tragic when there's a tornado and you just see houses decimated and people's dreams just go up for no reason at all. It's terrible. I'm so glad people rallied behind the community there and did everything they can for them. That's very encouraging to see.
I have a lightning question for you.
Oh.
As the storms start rolling in, you see the lightning like across your neighborhood. You see it fairly far away. Is there, and then you're supposed to count. Like, you see the lightning,
the
and then you do the 1,000, 2,000, 1,000, and when you hear the thunder, that figures out how far. Is that true, first of all?
Divide by 5. And Well, you can do that, but one of the more important things that I'd remind you of, it's the old common phrase that we use all the time, when thunder roars, go indoors. Thunder is a byproduct of lightning, so you have to have the lightning first before you have the thunder. And the reason you see the lightning before you hear the thunder is because light travels at, you know, 193,000 miles a second and 93,000.
I was just going to say faster than sound, but of course he knows the formula.
But the point is, when the air is heated with that instantaneous bolt of lightning, it's the explosion of the air because it's heated to 50,000 degrees like that. And so it's the air exploding so that you hear the thunder after you see the lightning. But the point that I was going to make is that anytime you see lightning in the distance, you should be indoors, and especially if you hear the thunder, then the lightning is pretty close. But lightning can travel from the parent storm horizontally. It's not just a cloud-to-ground strike. Oftentimes it travels horizontally and can be 10 or 15 miles away from the actual thunderstorm. And in fact, most people are struck by storms either in advance of or after they've passed, not during, because during a thunderstorm you'd seek shelter. At least that's the common sense thing to do. But if you're outside playing tennis or whatever it is you're doing, you're out on the water, you're playing golf, and you see the storm in the distance, you see the lightning, you think, well, that still looks like it's a half hour away. Not necessarily the case.
And I bring this up because every time that happens, my husband decides to take the dog for a walk. He goes, oh, it's going to rain. Look, there's lightning out that way. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get Tiki in for a walk before the storm hits. But that's a dangerous time to walk a dog.
It is. It absolutely is. Again, anytime there's the threat of severe weather and you can either see the lightning or hear the thunder, you have to stay indoors. There is no safe place to be outdoors during a thunderstorm. There's no place to hide from lightning. There just isn't. You don't want to get under a tree. You don't want to go into the outhouse.
Mm-hmm. What about in your car?
Well, you are safe in a car. That's still not the best place. Well, actually, it's not the wheels. That's a misnomer. Even though the car is being grounded by the rubber wheels in contact with the ground, it's really the metal shell of the car that protects you. So if lightning were to strike the car, it would actually travel through the shell of the car and into the ground through the tires. As long as you don't touch anything in the car that's metal, you'll be grounded and safe. So that's the secret. And, of course, unless you're in a convertible, that's a totally different story.
That's a totally different story. And he explained this to me. When I was a kid, we'd vacation in South Florida toward the end of summer in August. And every day, as sunny as it was, we would get at almost the exact same time every day. You could see it coming down the beach, a terrible torrential thunderstorm.
And then
it would last 25 minutes, and then it was the sunniest could be again at almost the same time every day. How can that be?
It's called a lake breeze front, only in your case it was coming in off the ocean.
Yeah.
And so when you think about it, the daytime heating from the surface of the earth, it rises, and you get the onshore flow coming in off the ocean. And so you get that convergence, and so you get that little maximum lift. Mm-hmm. You get the thunderstorm to form, and then it fades away and moves out, and the sun comes back out. And almost on a daily basis, like clockwork, that same process and procedure takes place. And that's why you can set your watch to it when you live in Florida in certain locations.
Yeah.
That's really all it is.
That's pretty interesting. It makes sense, too.
You know, there's always little interesting things about the weather, no matter where you live. You know, some things happen in one location and not in another, but they're very commonplace. You'll mention something to a person. You know, for us, it's the lake breeze.
Yeah.
You know, cooler near the lake, as common as that is. You know, lake effect snow showers. Well, that would never happen in Arizona. But, you know, they'll have a haboob, and we'll never have that happen here.
Have a
dust storm, but that's, you know, in any case, it just depends on where you are. Certain things happen in some locations, but not in others.
Bill, it was haboob.
It's still funny.
I know.
It's still very funny.
And what about the Leo Durocher, or whatever the thing that happens?
That's a great joke.
Yeah.
I've never heard it called that before.
The lip.
Is there something that might happen due to these storms today?
Yes.
And what is that again?
That is a potential. You know, the question is, will we end up getting supercellular or individual strong severe thunderstorms this afternoon or this evening, or will they congeal into a bow echo, which ends up becoming a derecho, or a long-lived wind event that literally stretches for hundreds of miles from its point of origin as it tracks from one location to another with
straight line winds?
Can be hundreds of miles.
Wow.
Yeah, can be hundreds of miles. So if that were to form, let's just say east and south of Chicago later today or tonight, it could put eastward through the Indiana area, through Ohio, all the way to the shoreline of the Atlantic. I mean, they can hold together for that long.
Good God, y'all.
Wow.
Our own Kim Gordon has a question for Andy Avalos.
Hi, Andy. We have a question about, we're having a debate up here about why airlines cancel flights ahead of time. Mm-hmm. You know, right now the weather's not bad, but we're getting reports that O'Hare's already canceled 85 flights and there's 40 plus cancellations already at Midway. So why do they do that in advance if they're actually flying out of the area, out of the storm?
It's so funny you'd ask me that, because just before we came back on the air in the break, one of your interns came up and said he had family members flying in this evening. Mm-hmm. He was picking them up at 11 o'clock. Are they going to get in? And I said to him, as a preemptive strike, it is probable that O'Hare and or Midway will cancel flights and or delay them, not for what's going to be happening, I mean, what's happening now, but what is going to or anticipated to happen later in the day. So what they're doing is they're having a preemptive strike. They don't want to get all those planes either flying in and stuck in a holding pattern with no place to go, or get stuck here on the ground and then have a back effect for tomorrow and having to get that situation cleared out. So that's really why they do it. They want to make sure that they get the planes in and out, and they don't want their pilots to either be stuck in the air, no place to go, or stuck here on the ground.
That's your answer, Kim. Look at that, Andy Avalos.
Thank you.
You cannot stump him.
Don't try.
Well, thank you for coming up. It's a pleasure to see you. We've known you for a very long time personally, and we've watched you on NBC5. How long have you been on TV?
You've grown up right before our very eyes, Andy.
Yes, I have. Yeah, I just, 32 years.
I started in
early April of 1984.
Wow.
So you do the math.
No, I don't do math.
They didn't even have tornadoes back then.
Well, they did. We just couldn't track it very well.
Right.
All right. So any final advice, anything we need to know?
Yes. The situation calls for you just to stay alert. Maybe not so much this afternoon. I think they'll get the Cubs game in. I think most of the afternoon will be dry. There may be a passing shower in spots. But late this afternoon into the early evening hours, and again, I said generally between 5 and 10 o'clock is probably the best window, give or take an hour on either side. To stay alert and stay informed when the storms form, and they will. It's just a question of the exact location yet that we still have to determine. The threat is going to be there for damaging winds in excess of 60 miles an hour, hail 1 to 2 inch in diameter, torrential downpours, vivid lightning, and still with enough shear in the atmosphere, there's the potential for an isolated strong tornado. So that's why you just stay abreast and alert to what's happening later today. By Friday, the sun will be back out. It'll be a beautiful day, very reminiscent of the day we had yesterday.
Oh, good.
Good.
Good, good, good.
Thanks.
If people need you, Andy, give your home phone if people want.
Let's see, Bill, you just gave me your home number, so let me look up quickly.
Don't. So good to see you, Andy. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure to see the two of you and appreciate the opportunity to come on the air and visit.
Anytime you want. Just walk over here with your big umbrella.
Next time I'll bring a lobster roll.
Oh, now you're talking. Thanks, Andy. It's our friend Andy Avalos. A quick break. We'll find out what Steve has next on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. It's the second half of our show. We're thrilled that you're listening, and we want to let you know that if you'd like to call in or text in at any point during the show, you can. It's simple, 312-981-7200.
Kim, I have to ask you, did you ever get your Hamilton tickets from yesterday?
No go on Hamilton. I'll have to wait till the next round or buy them on StubHub. I actually was looking again today, but we need 6, so it's hard. There are tickets available, but there's like 2s or 4s or kind of spotty spread out. So, yeah. But I want 6 at least really close.
All sit together, kind
you
of.
You can't get that many.
Because when I got home yesterday, I found out that Jimmy Mack was trying to get them, and I said, that's awesome, but it's shocking to me.
That's very uncharacteristic of him.
I know, but again, it just shows you when somebody's excited about something, it makes you excited about something.
It looks like still the average is about $427.
Per ticket?
God, am I glad he was on hold and said, please wait, and then he got dumped off the online site.
You know, I owe him an apology. I said that's uncharacteristic, but he's seen Annie a dozen times. He loves it, so what do I know?
Bill, no need to apologize if it's not Star Wars related. I'm pretty sure, you know, that... Cause
you didn't know he was doing this?
Oh, Hamilton used a light... Alexander Hamilton used a lightsaber.
He had a lightsaber.
For sure.
He did. Yes, he did.
Kim, you are sweet to support my husband like that.
Always. Huge Jimmy Mack fan.
Thank you. Yep. I'll pass that along if he didn't hear it now. But I was shocked when I got home because you're right, Bill. I said, you tried to get Hamilton tickets?
Hard to believe, isn't it?
He goes, well, yeah, I just figured, you know, I'd try and get them and see what happened.
Right.
I'm like, you want to see it? And he goes, yeah, I'd go see it.
Well, worst case scenario is you could turn around and sell the tickets and make
a
small fortune.
Really,
you wouldn't fence the tickets. No.
No, and then, you know, I said, well, what about SpongeBob? You want to go see SpongeBob?
Yeah.
And Jim's like, I don't know if I want to go see SpongeBob. And then the boys are like, I want to go see SpongeBob. I said, okay, well, we're going without you. And then Jim goes, I'm going with you.
Really?
Like, it's too late now. You said you weren't interested.
Oh.
But everybody has been raving about the SpongeBob musical.
Yeah.
So now I want to go see that. I'm going to turn into a theater person.
I wouldn't be shocked. Dean Richards, not last weekend, but the weekend before, had this Broadway critic on. It was right before the Tony Awards. And this critic said, even though Hamilton is getting unprecedented press, everybody's talking about the show, there are legitimately a bunch of other shows on Broadway that are actually better than Hamilton, not getting the same amount of buzz. And he mentioned some of the names, and they all sounded good to me. Every one of them sounded good. But because it's the hot ticket, people go, well, if I'm going to see a show, that's the show I'm going to see.
Yeah, but this should just open your eyes to all the shows, because I am still kicking myself for not going to see the Carole King musical.
Yeah.
I really am.
What happens, though, is there's a trickle-down effect for people who can't get the tickets. They say that this is good for all of Broadway and really theater everywhere, because when you can't get the tickets, you go, well, now, you know, I kind of have a taste to see something, so you go and see something else, so it works.
Riddle me this.
Yes.
These tickets went so quickly. Aren't they going to just extend the stay?
They will absolutely extend it.
Like, for sure?
I would say there's a 99-point-something% chance that they'll extend it. It doesn't make sense to not, if there's such a demand, why would you just go, yeah, sorry, we did our run, we're moving on to something else. They'll extend the run.
And I keep getting reminded, possibly from the same texter every time we talk about this, but 708, Hamilton will be on PBS October 17th. They are taping the last... Is it the last Broadway show?
I think it's the last one that the guy who wrote it and stars in it is going to be in, I think.
I think you're right.
Right? So, and one of the other leads is also leaving in July.
Somebody Odom. Is it Lamar Odom's brother?
Yes, I think it is. I'm not familiar enough with the actors' names. I apologize. But so two of the main cogs of the cast are both leaving within a short span of time. So, but they'll find this guy, this Broadway guy that Dean had on said, and this is hard for me to believe because I've not seen the show, but he said the weakest link in the show acting wise is the guy who wrote it, the guy who's leaving.
Well, sure, because he put himself in it.
Wouldn't you? I would.
Yeah, I mean, so are you an actor or a writer
right,
at that point?
Right. So they said, so what will probably happen is whoever takes over the role will be better, but they said this guy has a hard time keeping up with some of the other cast members who are supposed to be amazing.
I believe it. And someone has helped me out here, and I'm going to get on top of this, and I'm going to get my tickets early because Carole King's Beautiful is coming back in 2017.
It is.
So I'm going to get my tickets today for then.
The girl who played Carole King is from the northern suburbs, and
really?
She's in some other Broadway show now that she just sang a song on the Tony Awards last weekend. Yeah, she's really good. I don't know who she is, but she's really good.
Well, I'm kicking myself for not seeing that.
Yeah, that seemed to be the show for you. I'm surprised you didn't go see it.
That isn't on the top of my head to go see a musical, but now this whole Hamilton thing makes it on the top of your head to go see a musical.
It probably does. And then when they do it in Chicago, it's an all-Chicago celebrity cast. You already know this. Jerry Taft is playing Hamilton. He's going to be magnificent. People just go, all he can do is the weather. Guess again. Wait till you see him as Hamilton. He's great.
Kill me.
I would mention other cast members, but I don't know who else is in here. I don't know.
Who's going to top Jerry Taft?
It's worth the price. People go, I'm not going to pay $425 to see it. Yes, he'll make you a believer.
You should hear his Nevis accent.
Isn't he great?
Although, and here's another text. I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted.
That's
or
right.
Is it distracted or just I'm intrigued by it?
Yeah.
630 says, I'm not a fan of rap or hip-hop, which I got to tell you, typically I'm not either. I don't know if you are.
I'm a huge fan of rap and hip-hop.
What's the probability that I would enjoy a musical set to a genre that I do not like? But I think that is the big question.
That's the novelty of the whole show, is that it's so unlikely.
Right. That question has been answered, Wendy, 100%.
Yeah.
That's the point of it, that people who, look, this is a Broadway show.
Right.
So you've got, you know, a different audience going to see these shows, and they're blown away by it.
Right.
You got to open up your mind to new things once in a while.
Yeah. The clips, I mean, they did a few songs during the Tonys, and...
Why did you watch the Tony Awards?
I don't know. I've only seen it once before. I have no idea why, but I really enjoyed it. I really did. They even did a thing outside the theater in New York where casts of one Broadway show would come out and sing a song from another Broadway show.
That's cool.
It was so cool, and I said to my wife, here's what you realize when you see this. These guys are so talented that they can pretty much do anything. You know, the cast from Fiddler on the Roof came out and sang some song from some other show. You know what's really popular on Broadway right now is, remember the movie School of Rock with Jack Black?
Yeah.
there's a Broadway version of School of Rock, and the guy does a great job. I don't know if he's trying to do an impression of Jack Black, but he looks like him, he dances like him, he's got the same looks and stuff. So those guys came out, and they sang a song from some other Broadway show, and every one of them was great. They sounded great.
See, but you don't, if you're not a typical theater goer, you don't know that there are all these options.
Right, right.
I think all of us should start watching the Tony Awards.
But
with
that
you.
That should be required, yeah, everybody should do that. But when you're in New York, when you're there, you can't, like, they have billboards for every Broadway show. It's amazing, like, you're so aware of it when you're there. I mean, Chicago doesn't do it to that extent, but when you're walking around New York, everywhere you look, there's some reminder that some Broadway show is right around the corner from you.
I saw a billboard that told me that Hazel is at the Drury Lane.
Hazel the musical? Yeah.
Mr. B! Wait, I was supposed to sing that.
In rap. They should have done a rap version of Hazel. That would have been something. We'll take a quick break, and then we have a lot more show for you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder on WGN. Can I prove to you that society is meaner now than it's ever been before?
Please do.
I will prove it to you very, very simply. There is now an app for your phone called Spoiled.io. And what happens is, and again, this is to prove to you that we now live in a society that's just based on mean. If you subscribe to Spoiled.io, here's what happens. You pay them 99 cents per name. What they do is they send a text to your enemies. You give them a list of your enemies or maybe just one person that you don't like. But if you're going to do it, I guess do it big. Give them a list of people you don't like. And those people will get a text alert with spoilers for the show Game of Thrones.
That is cold.
Isn't it?
So cruel.
So if you have a friend, like Kevin watches Game of Thrones. So let's say, and this is impossible, let's say that you don't like Kevin, which is impossible. You would spend 99 cents, you would sign up, you would give them Kevin's name and number, and then whenever they had something happen on Game of Thrones that was one of those life-changing moments, they would send Kevin a note saying, hey, this guy on Game of Thrones got eaten by a dragon. Ha! And then...
And I would be heartbroken. I'm actually an episode behind right now, and I'm trying my hardest. I mean, it's everywhere. On Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, everywhere. I can't avoid it.
So do you not use social media then?
I try my best to avoid it. And like the second I see like one of their names, I'm just like, all right, scroll. I don't want to see anything. This would break my heart, honestly.
Isn't that the
meanest? Come on, it's Wednesday afternoon.
I know. I'm watching it today.
By now you should have seen
it.
No.
I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I know that last Sunday's episode was a gigantic, yeah.
I even know what happened, and I don't watch it.
I do, too, and I don't watch it.
And at one point my son goes, I think this violence is a little gratuitous.
There was a lot, right?
Oh.
It was insane.
You know,
more than the Red Wedding, and I don't know what it means. I don't watch the show, but people go, how about that Red Wedding?
Great episode.
For a long time, I thought they meant when Red Buttons got married. I'm like, yeah, that was something, wasn't it? When Red Buttons got married. Imagine the carnage.
Wendy, you're an enabler.
I just think it's, in this day and age, and I know we both laugh when we do this, because we'll mention something, and you're half joking, like when you mention... let me find a show. Even Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
You're hesitant to give anything because there are people... Like, I never saw an episode of Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I didn't have time to make it a habit.
Mm-hmm.
So no one's really ruined anything for me. So I'll just... Now people are going to text me stuff now that I said that.
Yeah.
But can that be ruined, really?
The show itself cannot be ruined, but... In any show, especially if the show's been on for 4 or 5 or 6 years,
I guess.
You're going to have key moments in the show. Like again, I'll bring Kevin into this. Kevin has not seen The Sopranos yet. He's going to start watching The Sopranos.
See, perfect example.
There's nothing I could possibly say that would ruin that experience for him, but there's a couple of major, major things throughout the span of that show that I would hate for him to know before
he
watches.
Right, you want him to witness
it
live.
Yeah, experience it, yeah.
I'm excited. I really can't wait. But yeah, I know it's supposed to be one of the best television shows of all time, right?
It is.
It truly was.
Yeah.
And I miss it tremendously.
Yeah.
Kevin, I could never get into it, so.
Really?
Why?
I'll give you a little cover there.
How come?
I don't know. I would try, like, the next season, like, okay, this year I'm going to try it again, and
What is there not to get into?
Well, it's an opinion. I mean, I know it's a good show. It's a well-made show. I just never...
You didn't like the characters?
Never clicked with me.
Christopher! You didn't like Polly Walnuts?
Spoiler alert, Wendy.
That's no spoiler. Here, is this a spoiler that Polly Walnuts
has
a penchant for tracksuits?
Oh, don't tell him that.
I'm feeling a little bullied right now. I'm uncomfortable.
Who cares?
But... All right, one of my best friends who did not like The Sopranos at all said, and this is true, I had a hard time rooting for people who killed people. It's hard to make them heroes
well,
in my eyes.
Well, then they shouldn't be watching.
It was one of those shows where there was not a likable person, was there? I mean, who would have been the likable person?
No, but you know
Tony?
What? You could say that about
really?
Seinfeld, yeah. too, couldn't you?
I didn't realize they were so mean and terrible.
Would you want them as friends? In real life, would you want the four cast members of Seinfeld to be your friend?
I'd like a friend that I could just walk in their apartment and start eating.
Do a funny move when you walk through
the
door.
No, I just want to walk in and start eating their Chinese food. Because we've been watching that. It's on like every minute, Seinfeld is.
Yeah.
So the kids have been into it, and it's funny to see them watch it for the first time.
Yeah.
And so if it's on, you watch it, and you still laugh. It's still the best show.
It's hysterical.
But it's like all of a sudden I'm realizing, God, these are horrible, horrible people.
Right.
And I want a friend that I can just walk into their apartment and just grab one of their Chinese food containers and just help myself.
Right, sure.
Now, who has a friend that good that you would, like, I
Nobody.
Would yell at them.
They weren't horrible to each other. That's
no,
what,
they still kind of were.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
But I would also make the same argument about friends, that they were really nice to each other usually, but if you were not in that circle of six, good luck to you.
Because they were the proud crowd. They were all attractive
right.
and young, and
right.
they were like the stuck-up high school group.
There was an episode, yeah, you're right. There was an episode on Friends. You know how whenever they would go to Central Perk, they kind of, even though it was a busy coffee house, they kind of got front and center seats.
Every time.
All right, so there was one episode where people were sitting in those seats, and they just glared at them like,
it was great.
Do you not know the rules to this place? We're the friends. When we come in, we get to sit there. I thought that
was
really
funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Seinfeldians were just kind of all... lovable losers in their own right. That
but extremely self-centered. Like even though we could all watch and laugh, in reality, you wouldn't want them as your real friends, would you? I don't think you would.
Well, not to hang out on a regular basis, but I would like to pop in once in a while.
Have some Chinese food and leave.
Yes.
All right, I can accept that.
I mean, Newman was despicable, and then Elaine was so mean to George, but when she needed him, she
right.
was mean to Kramer, too. They really were.
They were mean.
Jerry wasn't that mean. Jerry was the nicest one.
Yeah, I guess of the four, yeah, I guess so. I
but,
guess so.
You know, that finale, everybody's like, oh, they were just horrible, vindictive people. And it's like, I guess I didn't realize it all the years I was watching it.
Right.
Until that finale.
I didn't either, Wendy.
I really didn't.
And then I was kind of like, well, don't tell me what they were. I enjoyed it for 8 years.
But now when you go back and watch it, now I really am seeing how they're just really despicable to one another.
But that, it shouldn't take away from the experience.
Oh, so funny.
It's still, it's hysterically funny. Friends is very funny. Seinfeld's very funny. I'm crying. I can't believe they took the Friends off. But again, getting back to our original point, in every one of those shows, you could find a couple of moments where if somebody hasn't seen it and they're going to start binge watching it, you don't want them to know that.
Kevin, it was a junior mint.
That's all you need to know.
Don't do that.
They're very refreshing.
Is that a Seinfeld reference?
Yeah. That's
I somehow haven't seen that one.
Oh.
You have a
spoiler.
You know what one? I'm sorry. I know we're on the radio, but I have to tell you the one I just saw that I swear to God, I thought I saw every episode of Seinfeld. This is the one where George goes to pick up Jerry at the airport after mm-hmm. a gig,
mm-hmm.
and George's car breaks down, and so he's kvetching about that to Jerry, and then they see a guy holding up a sign that says O'Brien.
Oh, so good.
And he goes, let's just pretend we're O'Brien, and Jerry's like, no, I can't do it. It's like, yes, I'll be O'Brien. You can be Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out that O'Brien was this, like, white supremacist, and their limo gets attacked. I had never seen that one before.
Funny. Yeah, very
that
funny.
That really is a great show.
Yeah. All right. We need to take a quick break. Steve has the news. A lot coming up on the show, including Corey Feldman
How
at 2:35.
That?
Corey Feldman will be on the show. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Mm-hmm. Steve, thanks. Hi, it's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Listen in, call in, 312-981-7200. Remember Reader's Digest?
Oh, yeah. You know where I read that the most? In the dentist's office.
They always have slightly dated versions of Reader's Digest in there.
My dentist now has brand new magazines, like so many of them, all spread out in like a fan on their giant coffee table. I sometimes go in there when I don't have an appointment just to
read
up
a little bit.
Us.
Why not? Why not?
You know, I think the Reader's Digest, they were never current. They always published 3 months
older.
Back.
Right. It's common in the publishing business to put a date in the future on your magazine. But Reader's
Digest.
No.
It's still available. You can still get Reader's Digest.
Is it still very small?
I don't know.
No, I think it got bigger.
Normal size now?
That's why kids flock to it, because when the other kid had the Highlights magazine,
right,
you'd have to grab something, and
right,
that little Reader's Digest was so inviting because it fits in your little hands.
Very small, fun size. It was
Life
almost fun
in these
size.
United States.
Yep, they would always have that. For a while, when I was a kid, they had articles like, I am Dave's shoulder or something. It was always a guy's name and then a body part, and then you could read the story about that person's body part.
Laughter is the best medicine.
Laughter is the best medicine was always in there. That was in Reader's Digest.
I do remember that.
Well, Reader's Digest now has a thing where they disprove the things that we all believe are true, kind of like Snopes, but in a Reader's Digest form. So
probably less interesting.
Yeah, less interesting. They were going to bill it as less interesting than Snopes, and somebody said, well, nobody will read that. What are you talking about? Now, I have to be honest with you. I consider myself, you know, I went to grade school, then high school, then college, and I consider myself fairly learned, and yet most of these I didn't know.
But I will say that you do know a lot about things that don't really matter in the real world.
I know a lot of dumb stuff.
Well, it's not dumb. It's stuff you're interested in. And I know you well enough to know if it's something you're not interested in, you don't
care.
It
goes right through me.
Yeah.
It goes right through me.
You're not curious about it.
No, that's true. Did you know this? Like, think about the days of dinosaurs. And we only know this because we've seen this.
Oh!
No.
I was thinking of the days of dinosaurs and I scared myself.
No, don't. I didn't do this to scare you. Whenever we think about dinosaurs, we think about dinosaurs kind of coexisting with some sort of human life as well.
I don't.
You don't think about that? Like on Land of the Lost or 10 million BC? That was real. 10 million BC was real.
No, I think of the dinosaurs roaming this world before there was any kind of caveman or anything.
You would be correct. Despite the fact that 41% of U.S. adults thinking that humans and dinosaurs coexisted, we missed each other by approximately 64 million years. So even though it's been a staple of dinosaur movies to have a group of either Cro-Magnon or Neanderthal men and women fighting them off, that didn't even come close to happening. You missed it by 64 million years.
That's where your love of these crazy movies has really...
It ruined me.
It did ruin you.
It ruined me. Because I think it'd be more... I always thought, well, wouldn't that be exciting? You know, to know on any given day you could walk around and see a Tyrannosaurus or a Brontosaurus.
Yeah.
64 million years got in the way.
Didn't happen. Well, that one I knew.
You knew that one. Describe Napoleon to me, the leader of France.
Napoleon Bonaparte was a short man.
Yep.
That's his name.
Yep. Napoleon, as it turns out, was...
He didn't say something.
He was the average height for a Frenchman.
Really?
He was 5'6", which by today's standards is a short Frenchman.
That's how tall I am.
You could have been the leader of France if you were born. You also missed it by 64 million years. He was the average height. The average Frenchman during Napoleon's time on the planet was exactly that, 5'6".
Yeah, but for a leader, don't you expect somebody to be...
Much taller.
You do.
I had heard that the reason that rumor had gotten out was, like, British propaganda. That was their way of attacking him, to, like, bring down his name a little bit.
That makes sense, to make him seem like you could take care of this guy. He's little. You could hold your hand out, and he would be trying to punch you, and he couldn't reach you.
Couldn't make contact.
Right, right. All right, how about this one about your brain? You know how everybody classifies things? Well, everyone has a brain for the most part, but you know how people classify it as, well, that's from your left side of your brain. That's your left brain thinking. That's your right brain thinking.
That's
Turns out not true at all. It says there is no solid division between the talents of each hemisphere of your brain, the left brain or your right brain, and vice versa. But I've heard that forever, that the creative side of your brain is on this side and the more structured, formal side of your brain is on that side. So how did that rumor start?
Well, aren't you ambidextrous?
I am. Yeah, most people aren't, but I am. Yes.
I think that just people who thought they were creative would and didn't want to do schoolwork would always go, ah, well, my right brain isn't as strong as my left brain.
I bet there's something to that. Here's a good one, too. You know how there's always that myth that if you go up to the top of a building and you throw a penny down, you'll crush somebody, it'll go right through them? Terminal velocity of a penny is 30 to 50 miles per hour. It's not fast enough to kill anybody. It would hurt you, but it would not kill you.
You might get a bruise, but it wouldn't go through your...
It would not...
Penetrate your skull like you were.
Did you hear that when you were a kid?
Yeah.
We took a field trip when I was in grade school, and were we going to go to the top of the Hancock? We ended up not going because it was too windy that day. But several of my classmates were like, well, let's bring pennies up and kill people down below.
Well, you didn't think it would kill them, but you did think it would really...
Put a hole in them.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
But they'd survive.
Right. All right, how about this one? This is from the biblical world. When Jesus was born in the manger, who was there besides Joseph and Mary who came to visit?
The three wise men.
Three wise men. Except that in the Bible, it never says there were three. It says that wise men, magi, came to visit him, but the word three was just made up somewhere.
I know where it was made up.
Where?
Because there was, I know the frankincense and myrrh. What's the other one before?
Gold.
Okay. So there are three items, so they assumed three people brought it.
Oh.
I don't know if that's true, but that is my philosophy.
But traditionally, don't some people go in on a gift? Don't some people go, I totally forgot about the Jesus thing. Could I just put my name on your gift?
Especially with gold, that's way more expensive than frankincense and myrrh. And I can't believe I don't remember gold, but I remember the frankincense and myrrh.
Right. When I was a kid, I thought it was Frankenstein and myrrh. And I'm like, that's a terrible gift for the chosen one. Do not bring him Frankenstein. That's bad. And then one of my friends even taught me in a school report, he said that the Three Stooges came to visit Jesus, which is wrong. They never did.
Mary, Joseph, the cheese!
Right. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then more of these things that you thought you knew, but guess what? You were wrong. Thank you, Reader's Digest, Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. With the help of the people over at Reader's Digest, you know that really small magazine at your dentist's office?
You know, you were mentioning things that they... We thought was true,
right.
and they've turned out not to be true.
Mm-hmm.
The very first thing you mentioned about how dinosaurs and people didn't roam the land at the same time.
Yes.
Ted's going to back you up on this. Hi, Ted.
Yeah, hey, guys. Billy, I think you might have ruined my childhood, man.
Sorry. Didn't mean to.
It's okay. I was certain that dinosaurs have been domesticated, because how else would Fred Flintstone gotten Dino in the car?
That's totally true.
That's very true. I hadn't thought about that.
All my childhood memories have just been destroyed.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry, Ted. Yeah.
You'll get over it, Ted.
I'll work through it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for calling.
One of my friends used to say he was so bothered every year because the Flintstones would have their Christmas episode. And he said it bothered him so much because Christmas was to celebrate the birth of Christ, who came years and years and years after prehistoric men.
Oh.
And I said, the fact that the Flintstones have a dishwasher that's a dinosaur, that doesn't bother you at all, but their Christmas episode is inaccurate. That's what kind of bothers you. All right, I'll play along.
I want to know where to get ribs that big. Don't those look good?
The car-tipping ribs? They should have those. They should definitely have those. Reader's Digest put out a bunch of things that you thought, or most of us thought, were true, but it turns out they are not true. Now, this one, is this possible? You know how everybody believes that the water in your toilet, or your shower, I guess, flows one way, but if you're on the other side of the planet, it would circulate the other way?
Right, like down a drain and stuff, too.
Yeah. It says here that that's correct. A flush toilet does not rotate the other way in the southern hemisphere.
Wait, so it doesn't?
No, I've heard from people who have...
I think that's a fallacy.
That it does? Yeah?
Because you know what? I got to tell you right now, if I had to guess, if it was clockwise...
Yeah. He would be clockwise there, too.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, do you pay attention to which way your toilet swirls?
I never have. I have other things to do. I've never paid any attention to it.
And if somebody's giving you a swirly, it's the opposite
right.
way because your head's in it.
Right.
So you're sort of upside down.
That part I know is true because I've been given swirlies on 5 of the 7 continents.
You have not. Please tell me you've never had a swirly.
Not in Antarctica. No, I never have.
Yeah,
I've never had one.
So wait, is it true or false? What
it
is
says
it?
That that's false, that it doesn't go the other way in the southern hemisphere.
Okay.
And that's backed up by...
Don't say backed up in toilet.
A website called informationisbeautiful.net. It's a website for hippies.
Why would that make any sense now that I think about it? Just because you're in an opposite hemisphere, why would it... That doesn't make any sense.
Because of the equator, they told us.
I was going to say...
Because of the equator?
They pin everything on the equator when I was a kid,
Kevin,
no matter what.
When you were a kid, when Bill and I were growing up, you didn't question as much
right.
as you do now, and you didn't have the Googler.
Yeah, I mean, I believed it too, but now that like you just debunked it, I'm thinking, yeah, wait, why did I believe that?
Trust me when I tell you, teachers and parents, when Wendy and I were kids, would use the equator for an excuse for everything. And the other one was, anytime anyone would tell you anything that didn't make sense, you go, well, why would they have that? Why couldn't you do that? And people go, well, because of the war. And you just go, oh, yeah, because of the war.
It's so true.
What?
No war specified,
right.
but just
the war. You couldn't eat celery
right.
on a Wednesday. Why? Well, because of the war. Oh, right.
And then the war happened because of the equator?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
They did tell us really terrible things.
Over and over and over again, the war, would, no matter what would happen.
And why are they right. taking time explaining which way a toilet swirls?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know the answer to that either.
We've been bamboozled.
We have been bamboozled. That part's true. Well, now this one is more recent, but this is the Jenny McCarthy thing, that vaccines cause autism.
Absolutely untrue, 100%.
There are groundless fears based on fraudulent research that have been shown to be manipulated. You're not going to get autism from getting a vaccination.
And as mad as I am at Jenny McCarthy for...
it's McCarthyism, that's what it is.
Because of the war.
Because of the war and the equator.
I was so mad at her because so many people listened to her and didn't get their kid vaccinated
yeah.
for numerous things. And now mumps and measles and all these things are back in
right.
action when they had pretty much been eradicated.
Yeah.
But then I halfway feel sorry for Jenny McCarthy because this doctor she spoke to told her that he did some research that there is a link to vaccinations and autism. And then they debunked that, and he was actually charged or arrested on some kind of...
Some fraud charges?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember this.
So
yeah.
I'm mad at her, and yet I feel sorry for
well,
her.
Well, she'll be okay. She lives out in St. Charles. We'll go over after the show.
With which Wahlberg?
All of them.
They
bought
no,
a house
don't.
Out there. Yeah, they did. what's... Now, you've heard... I know you know this myth... Let's say you see a baby bird that has fallen out of its nest, and you are to pick it up and put it back in its
oh,
nest.
Oh, yeah. A human's touch will mean that the mother bird will not come back and tend to it.
Incorrect.
I believe
it. I have believed that my whole life.
I've taken care of birds that have fallen out of the nest with little eyedroppers.
And then you put them back, and
yeah,
the birds
and
all...
Yeah, they're fine.
Yeah.
They say that about bunnies, though, too.
Oh, I didn't hear it about rabbits, just about birds.
Because if they sense the smell of a human...
That's what it says here.
But
it
that's
says,
not true.
Most birds have a very limited sense of smell, so they will not abandon their babies who smell of humans.
Don't you think that's just what moms tell their kids so they don't touch them?
Yes. Yeah, I think that is it. I do think that's it.
I've been dealing with this for the past, I don't know, month or two. We've had a robin's nest on our back deck, and she is very aggressive.
Robins are really mean.
She, like, will stand on the railing looking at, like, staring me down with her mouth open. She gets, like, a little aggressive mohawk
yes.
going on. Oh, she freaks
yeah.
me out.
Birds get an aggressive
yeah,
mohawk?
Yeah, the feathers go up. It's really
it's
an aggressive...
It's like a cockatoo move.
It is.
Really?
I'm not kidding you, yeah. And, like, I have to take the recycle out and go past her nest, and, oh, she's not happy.
Does she growl at you?
She squawks. She stands on the court, like, literally 2 feet away from me.
Well, do you know where the nest is?
Yeah, like, right
you
above
me. You gotta take it down.
They're gone now. I think they left already, but...
Yeah, but then she's just gonna lay more eggs, because she's loose. But all I'm...
Really?
This is a stupid story, and I'm sorry, this is where...
Wait, did they come back, though?
Well, you have to... The hardest part is building the nest. We have on
bad.
our front porch, we have a grapevine wreath that
yeah.
I very creatively glued some flowers on in my own arrangement. So it's my own personal wreath.
Uh-huh.
And there was the beginnings of a bird's nest there. And it was... I'd see, like, these straw wrappers on our porch and leaves. I'm like, what the hell? No one's cleaning up. And then I saw this beginning of a nest on top of it. So I took it down and threw it out. And I felt kind of guilty because I know she worked hard on it. Well, then 2 days later, the nest was back. And there was this robin that was doing the same thing Kevin's explaining and was trying to, like, swoop down and peck my eyes
out.
Really? She really was being protective, and it wasn't even a completed nest yet. So I took that one, ripped it down, and I looked on the Internet, and it said to put, like, a fake snake or something up there to scare it.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have that, but we did have Watto, which is this little Star Wars...
cards?
No, a Star Wars action figure who has wings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was missing a foot or something, so he wasn't in, you know, one of my husband's favorites in his action figures. So I put Watto on top of my grapevine wreath, never came back.
Oh, is that right?
To this day, there is no nest, and Watto is still up there.
Wow. It works.
It scared it away. I mean, it's kind of scary, the little Watto creature.
Sure, yeah.
My parents do that, too, on their front porch, the same thing. There. Like,
the
I
owl?
Yeah, well, no, it's a rubber snake and, like, some
See?
Action figures. And when I first
they
saw
put
it,
action
I was, like,
figures,
I was
really?
Like, what the heck is going on here? Yeah.
You have cool parents.
It's like a mini scarecrow.
Yeah.
It is, right?
But they are really mean. And getting back to the rabbit situation, because, boy, rabbits, they do it like rabbits. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
And they make nests right in the center of your yard, and then some of us have dogs that eat them.
Oh,
and
no.
then feel terrible about it. But, Dave, you can handle a baby rabbit and put it back in its nest and then put, like, the hair and the straw all over it, and the mom will take care of it, right?
Yeah, she will. We have a plethora of rabbits in our backyard.
Oh my God!
And we have a small dog, and he will occasionally dig up a nest. And so far, we've been lucky. We've been able to catch him before he, you know, starts eating one or whatever they do.
Mm.
But my wife and I have both tucked the fur back in, tucked the little rabbits back. I mean, they're very small, maybe 4 inches long. Tucked them back in the nest, and mom comes back and takes care of them, and they live to make more rabbits.
Well, would you scold her and tell her to put the nest on the side of the yard instead of the middle of the yard?
You know, I swear to God, we've got the dumbest rabbits in Illinois.
I'm not kidding you. Right in the center of your backyard, and you'd think that they would smell that a dog does his business in our yard, and he's a really big dog.
Because there's probably a divot there, right? A little divot.
Yeah.
Because that's tough when you're mowing.
Right.
They make a small, just a little indent, you know. And we haven't really had any this year at all. So maybe they wised up. And
no, they're all in my yard, Dave.
Okay, Wendy.
Thank you
for
calling.
By the way, before you go, love your show, listen every day. And Steve, I'm the guy who worked with your uncle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Does that mean anything to
you? Do
you
remember that,
Steve?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
I worked with Steve's uncle, Virgil, for ComEd.
Awesome.
That's excellent. Well,
one big happy family.
By the way, if you had touched Uncle Virgil and put him back in the yard, his mom would have taken care of him. Did you know that?
I'm very glad.
I don't know. It's 50-50.
Thank you, Dave. Oh,
all right.
Sorry.
We'll take a quick break, and then Uncle Virgil will join us.
Do we have more of these? Because I'm loving these.
I have more. We could do them today or another day.
What time
whenever.
Is Corey Feldman?
Corey Feldman usually comes in around 2:35. Like
all right,
clockwork.
I'm just loving these.
Yeah. All right. So more show coming your way. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thank you very much. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, you can call us or text us there. You know who's mad? This is interesting. For a long time, Daryl Hammond was on Saturday Night Live, and then he was off of Saturday Night Live, and now he's kind of back on primarily as the announcer, and then he plays Bill Clinton from time to time.
Which I'm sure he's so excited that Hillary's running because now he gets to participate.
Yeah, he was in the cast for a long time. You and I got to meet him years ago at another radio station. Very, very nice man. And he was playing the role of Colonel Sanders on KFC commercials for a little bit. And then what they decided to do, KFC, and I don't know exactly when they decided this, but in their ad campaign for Kentucky Fried Chicken, they decided that they'll give the job of Colonel Sanders to a guy for a while, like Daryl Hammond, and then they'll replace him with another guy, like Norm MacDonald. And
which surprised me.
Well,
because I got used to Daryl Hammond,
right.
And then all of a sudden I'm like, wait, that doesn't look... Is that Norm MacDonald?
Then it was Norm MacDonald. And then it was Jim Gaffigan.
Right.
And he has the job for a short amount of time. and then somebody else will be Colonel Sanders. Everybody gets it for less than a year, like 6 to 9 months.
Are you going to be it?
Eventually, everybody will be. You'll be it. Kevin will be. Steve Bertrand will be Colonel Sanders for a little bit. All the listeners. Everybody will get to be Colonel Sanders for like 6 to 9 months.
Not until they bring back Extra Crispy. I'm
then
not
going to
do it.
Then you'll do it.
Not before that.
All right.
No.
That's fair. Hold out.
Oh, they do? I don't really go.
I don't go there either, but I know they have
they have it.
The you kids like it.
Yeah. Extra Crispy?
Yeah.
Oh.
They have original recipe and Extra Crispy.
Honey Roasted? They used to have Honey Roasted.
I don't know that they have that anymore.
I don't know what that
is. I don't know that they do. But Daryl Hammond is very upset with KFC because he believes that they misled him. And we, you know, we weren't there, so we don't know exactly what they said to Daryl Hammond to convince him to play Colonel Sanders. But he said that this is a sham, that he was hired to play a role, and he only played it for a short time, and then he didn't do anything wrong, and they replaced him. But KFC says, no, this was our intention all along, was to do a bit where you're only Colonel Sanders for a little while, and then somebody else is Colonel Sanders.
Can I tell you, if he signed a contract with them and did the work and got paid for it, they don't really have to tell him unless it was stipulated in his contract, you will be used for 1 year
right.
or till the right. end of time. If they just said, here, we're doing this, and there were no specifications there,
yeah.
they can do whatever they want.
I think so, too. I can understand if I'm him thinking, oh, boy, this is going to pay for a lot. I'm going to make a lot of money off of this. I'll be Colonel Sanders for 10 years, I bet, and then it's only 9 months. Then I understand him being upset, but
he went out and bought a Boston Market franchise.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
Spending all his money before
a fleet of boats.
You know, how about people who get fired and say, I was hoping I'd have this job
sure.
longer? I mean,
right.
life is not fair.
Right. Life is not fair. But if you're him, you go, you know, what did I do to ruin it? All I did is I dressed like
great.
Colonel Sanders. They've all, you know, they've
Norm
all.
McDonald's been the best.
They've all brought kind of their own persona to it. Everybody's been it. And in one of the commercials, I don't remember who else was on the board, except I do remember Tim Meadows, who was also on Saturday Night Live, was one of the guys. They showed some room
yeah.
with all the future Colonel Sanders,
yeah.
and they had a bunch of men and women up on the, you know, their 8x10s up on a board. And I remember, because that was the first time I saw Jim Gaffigan. I'm like, oh, that'd be funny. And then a couple months later, it was him.
He's busy doing his Pacifica commercials. How can he have time
right.
to do that?
Right. Oh, he before we knew Jim Gaffigan, he did dozens of commercials.
He
did a bunch of commercials.
Honestly, so funny
very
to
funny.
Me.
Very, very funny.
And I was late to the Jim Gaffigan party.
Oh, he's great. He's
I didn't
great.
Know much about him till a few years ago. Well, I'm sorry for Daryl Hammond because he's a fine guy. He, you know, it stinks. But
right. Now, even Norm MacDonald has said, and Norm MacDonald was, I want to say there have been three so far. I'm trying to think. I think before Daryl Hammond did it, they legitimately got guys. To, oh, you know who it
yes.
was before? I know who it was.
Was it Jim Brewer?
No. It's I'll tell you who it is. This is a weird one, and I think he only did it in voice. I don't think he ever dressed up like Colonel Sanders.
I can't remember, but I know who it was.
You want me to tell you? Randy Quaid.
What?
It was Randy Quaid.
I sounded like a chicken there when I just said, what?
Yes, you did. How fitting.
I didn't realize that, and he wasn't dressed up, just more of a voiceover
thing. I don't remember ever seeing him dressed up like Colonel Sanders, although he could look like Colonel Sanders. Although now he looks like the Keep on Truckin' guy. Have you seen him lately?
Well, maybe that's what set him off the rail, was that he lost
right.
the gig
right.
to Daryl Hammond.
That's the beginning of the end for him, because now he's nuts. He's completely out of his mind now.
What does Norm say? Did Norm say that he knew it was only a short-term thing?
Norm MacDonald says that it was a mistake to replace Daryl Hammond. Now, so this
but I'll
is the
take
guy,
the job.
Right. I'm not going to say no.
Right.
He was very good at it, but how weird is that, that he replaced the guy, and then in the end he goes, yeah, if I'm you guys, I keep him. He's great.
Well, sure, that's easy to say now after you've got the gig,
right.
because it makes you look better.
Right, that's true.
Hey, you know, these jobs, these voiceover, I would be really mad if I was a voiceover actor like your wife, because
yeah.
all the celebrities are getting every single commercial.
You can't believe how the voiceover market has changed. My wife made a living kind of just doing voiceovers for years and years, and then in the last 5 or 10 years,
all celebs,
they get all famous people. Yeah,
I gotta sit around in my Lincoln and do this.
Right.
Really?
It's because the thought process is, I would certainly buy a car that Matthew McConaughey is driving around in, but who's that guy? I'm not gonna buy a car from that guy. I don't know who that is. So we're easily fooled.
I'm bothered by that. You know, your celebrities, your movie stars, your television stars, you've got your thing.
Right.
Leave it to the voice actors to do their thing.
You would think.
That gets me so mad.
I know.
I have some other KFC news. Can we take a break?
Yeah.
Can I share it with you?
Yeah.
Because it's crazy.
All right. A little bit of a break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I have some KFC news for you.
This is your breaking KFC radio station. If there's anything going on in the world of Kentucky Fried Chicken, we will bring it to you.
All right. Well, this came out this year, all right, a couple of months ago, so I'm a little late to this, but I am shocked to see it.
Oh, no.
KFC has made two edible nail polishes that bring the classic tagline, finger licking good, to life.
Oh.
Ogilvy and Mather worked, or do you say Mather?
Mather.
Probably.
Or Mother, if it's Ogilvy's mother.
Ogilvy's mother worked with food technologists at McCormick, the spice company.
Yeah.
And McCormick provides the KFC secret mix of 11 secret herbs and spices, Bill.
They're secret. They're top secret.
I bet you we could figure
it out. One of them is salt.
There's paprika for sure.
Paprika.
And pepper.
Marjoram.
Maybe.
There might be.
All right, well, they have now put together nail polishes for KFC Hong Kong. The polish flavors are sourced from natural ingredients. They're based on the brand's two favorite recipes, original and hot and spicy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, they taste like chicken.
And the goal is to paint your nails with them and then during the day...
Isn't this ridiculous?
You would just lick your fingernail polish and have the taste of chicken... finger looking good. So that's the game plan, right?
This bothers me. To use, consumers simply apply and dry like regular nail polish.
Yeah.
And then lick again and again and again.
That wouldn't look weird, I bet, to coworkers to watch you do that throughout the day.
Are you taking a message?
No.
I'm licking my fingernail.
Yeah.
The recipe for our edible nail polish is unique. You know, typically there's formaldehyde in nail polish. Now,
yeah,
obviously, this has
not
to
in
be.
This. Right.
It's edible nail polish.
Right.
Still.
Nah.
And do you want your fingers smelling like chicken? I mean, come on. Don't you go wash your hands after you go to KFC for lunch?
Yeah, because, yeah.
You don't save the smell on your fingers to lick them later. So you put it on. It's unique, specifically designed to hold the flavor, but to also dry with a glossy coat similar to normal nail polish, not the matte.
So it doesn't look like chicken. It just tastes like chicken. It doesn't have like a breaded finish to it or anything like that.
Or like
that.
A bumpy skin like a chicken
right.
skin.
Right.
No, but that's the best part. I'd rip my nails off and eat them. The campaign is designed to be intriguing and fun.
It is intriguing.
It's fun.
Is it fun? All right.
I don't know. I would try it.
I guess it's fun, too.
They're trying to increase excitement around the KFC brand in Hong Kong. And KFC really did make this stuff, but it's not mass producing it, at least not yet. Nail polishes are packaged in a designer bottle and box.
Yeah.
They've been teased on social media over the last couple of months. The brand has released an online music video around the project,
too. I was
too.
Just going to ask, is there an online music video? Because that's what would sell me. I wouldn't do this to my fingernails without an online music video. Yep, sold. I want some.
They're just moving their fingers around.
This sounds like the music at a club that as soon as I would walk into, everybody would just stare at me and go, how'd that guy get in here? What's he doing in here?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd try it.
Uh-uh.
And I'm kind of... I gotta be honest with you, I'm a little surprised they haven't tried like a bacon flavored nail polish.
Oh, now that I can almost see.
That
makes more sense.
But I mean,
they're only doing it because of the Latin finger looking good. If they didn't have that as a catchphrase, they wouldn't even be thinking about this, would they?
God, I hope not.
This is all based on that line.
Finger looking good, and they have hot and spicy, which is kind of an orange.
Oh, so the colors correspond to the flavor?
Because it comes in a little two-pack box.
Is there a side dish for your thumbs? Is there mashed potato flavored or buttery biscuit for your thumbs?
I think there's a slaw ring.
Now we're talking. I didn't know that was
a slaw bangle.
Yeah.
What will happen is you open up the inner tube of a bangle bracelet,
right,
and you can suck out the slaw.
Why aren't we invited to these think tank meetings?
I don't know.
I don't understand why we wouldn't get an invite to any of these. So this is, as of now, is only in Asia,
Hong Kong.
Where, by the way, there, you know, KFC is huge overseas
is it really?
In China and in Japan, yeah. But then when there was, something happened to the chicken supply out there like a year or two ago and sales just plummeted. There was some major thing that happened to chicken sales. Was it bird flu?
Yeah.
It was bird flu, right?
Avian flu.
Yeah. So that happened, and then everybody was afraid to go to KFC because of that, and rightfully so. But now that they've got fingernail polish that tastes like chicken,
they're back.
They're right back where they want to be. All right. Well, that's scary in a lot of ways, in many, many ways. All right. Here's the game plan, everybody. A quick break, Steve with the news, and then a guy that I've always wanted to talk to, and you too, right?
Yep.
Corey Feldman, and he's on for several reasons. Of course, he's an actor and a producer and a musician, but there were some interesting allegations, and this is ongoing, of child endangerment, to put it politely.
Pedophilia in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Basically.
And this is something that he's been talking about for a long, long time, and nobody was really listening to him, or a few people were. And then all of a sudden, Elijah Wood came out about a month or so ago and made similar accusations.
Although he says he was misquoted.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll talk to Corey Feldman about this and get the lowdown about what he knows was going on there. News first, though. Stay where you are. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Remember back when we were kids, laughing at the things we did. Working harder than we should, but though we knew what was good. Made the most of every day, we altered our reality. You called us partners and best friends. Corey Feldman, ladies and gentlemen, has had a 35-year career already. He's been in over 80 films, including, sit down for this, Stand By Me, Gremlins, Goonies, Lost Boys, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and 76 more. Do you want me to do all of them? I'll do all of them. He has a new album that breaks today, Angelic to the Core, and he joins us right now on the phone line. Hi, Corey. How are you?
Hey there. How you doing, man?
Fine.
So that was that song called Remember 222 is a tribute to the other Corey that you were very close with.
That's right, to my best friend and my partner in all those movies, Corey Haim. And the great thing about that song is, well, there's a couple cool things, but number one is that you actually have film clips from the movie, actually from several movies. So, you know, you get to actually hear Corey's voice on the track, which is really cool. And the other thing is that, you know, everybody expects a tribute song is going to be like, you know, depressing and, you know, tearjerker and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, you know, I would like to do something that actually reminds people of what our movies was, you know, were about, which was having a good time. I mean, you know, they were fun movies. They were adventure movies mostly. They were comedies. So, you know, when people think back on those times, they don't want to remember the bad times. They don't want to remember, you know, the depressing stuff that happened later in his life. They want to remember, you know, the great moments that, you know, made everybody laugh. And those are the moments that I choose to remember, and, you know, and us having fun and running around on our bikes and all that stuff as kids. So that's really what the song is about.
How'd you meet him, Corey? What happened that brought you guys together?
Lost Boys, actually.
Yeah.
It all happened very kind of organically, really. I mean, he got cast in a role, I got cast in a role, and, you know, one day I was getting my wardrobe on, and Joel Schumacher, the director, said, oh my God, we've got such a great cast. He was on the phone bragging to somebody. I wasn't sure who, but, you know, he said, oh, we've got this great cast, and we've got, you know, Jason Patrick, and we've got, you know, Kiefer Sutherland, Diane Wiest, and, you know, the two Coreys. I said, what do you mean the two Coreys? What does that mean? He says, well, there's another Corey. His name is Corey Haim, and he's in the movie as well. And I was like, okay, who's this guy? You know, I had no idea. Except I had heard his name around a bit because a very dear friend of mine, Robin Lively, was dating him, it turned out. And so she would mention his name from time to time. And I would see his little, you know, picture in the teen magazines and stuff as kind of the new breakout star. And I didn't really know much about him. But then one day when I got home, I received a phone message on my answering machine, and it was him. you know, kind of introducing himself to me, like, hey, man, I guess we're going to be working on this movie together, so, you know, we should hang out and get to know each other a bit because I'm in L.A. So I called him back. We set up a kind of a meeting, and the rest is history.
And there's something to be said for liking somebody who shares your name. I mean, I've never met a Wendy I didn't like. You know, you got to be friends with somebody who shares your name.
That's it. And there were a lot more commonalities than just that. I mean, it was kind of eerie, really. But, you know, we were two kids, the same age, same name, both Jewish. You know, he had this gold chain around his neck that said 222. And I had one around mine that said 22 because we both had this thing with numerology where I always had 22 as my favorite number, which is why the album is called Angelic to the Core, and why it's a two-disc CD and why it came out on the 22nd. And, you know, there's all these kind of clues that go along with it. But remember, 222 is specifically, obviously, for him because that was always his thing. So there was just all these weird coincidences that kind of, you know, went on and on and on and followed us throughout our life and career, quite oddly and quite unfortunately in some ways.
And tell everybody, which I think is so amazing, this whole double CD set is completely green, eco-friendly.
That's right, yes. I mean, you know, the greenest way, of course, to do it is to buy it digitally, which it is now available digitally on all carriers except iTunes, because iTunes is late in their delivery, so tisk-tisk on them. But hopefully it'll be, you know, available later today or tomorrow or whatever. But it's certainly available on all other media, you know, places like such as Google Play or Amazon or Spotify or Rhapsody. You know, there's kind of a long list of all the ones that have it, but unfortunately iTunes doesn't yet. But the point is that that's the greenest way to go. The other way to go is to buy the actual double CD. And you're right, it is made with eco-friendly environmental products such as recycled paper, soy ink, which is made of vegan ink, actually, so no animals are harmed in the making of it. And it's completely biodegradable, so that, you know, not the discs, of course. The discs, they haven't figured out how to do those biodegradable yet. But you could take the actual CD packaging and throw it in the ocean if you don't like the album. And then you could use those discs as disc trays or, you know, frisbees or
coasters, drink coasters.
You know, whatever. Coasters, exactly. You know, whatever you choose. Some people I've seen hang them as ornaments at Christmas.
Oh, nice.
Hopefully you'll like ours a little bit better.
Yeah.
Corey, we hear about the pitfalls of being a child actor, and I guess nobody knows it more than you. It's been a roller coaster ride, some very good times, some very bad times. If you had to do it all over again, would you have chosen show business over another way of life?
Probably not, because I didn't choose show business in the first place. It chose me. You know, when you're 3 years old, you don't really make those choices. You know, I kind of talk about all that in my book, Choreography, which is basically the fact that I was brought into the whole game as a child slave, which is really what I was. I mean, you know, if there was such a thing as an open slave market in the U.S. in the 1980s, I was part of it, you know.
Yeah, but did you think of it as that at the time? Because you were kind of digging the attention and everything.
No, not really.
Really?
No, that's, you know, the illusion that, you know, the media would create.
Yeah.
Just something that, you know, I was a part of, but unfortunately I wasn't. I mean, it was really more about the commercialism and, you know, putting it all together. And, you know, I mean, obviously I enjoyed my work. I enjoyed the attention. I enjoyed people being nice to me on the set because they were a lot nicer on the set than they were at home. But I didn't have friends. I didn't have a childhood. I didn't get to do things like sleep over at friends' houses or, you know, go to camp or go, you know, camping or, you know, any of that kind of stuff, join baseball leagues. You know, the stuff that normal kids get to do, I didn't get to do it.
That's true.
And that's rough. You know, it's rough being a kid and trying to understand why you can't go play with the other kids when everybody else is just going to play.
Corey, when Wendy and I were kids, we're a little bit older than you, but there was an actor named Paul Peterson who was on the Donna Reed show and also a recording artist.
Well.
You do. He started a group for child actors, kind of a support group. Is that still something that goes on?
Yes, it's still around. Unfortunately, Paul has gotten a bit older, and he's taken a back seat, and I think he's pretty much retired at this point from that group. I forget what they're called, but I think it's like adult actors or something like that. Adult child actors, something along those lines. But I mean, it is a good organization because they were always kind of trying to do the right thing and help with children's rights and that sort of thing. So there's been much debate over the last few years over who will take over in his place. And I don't know who they've appointed in that position yet, but I'm sure they're going to make a good choice because he did great work.
Yeah.
And, you know, you need those voices out there. But I think even more nowadays, what, you know, the big concerns really are, you know, who's got access to those kids. And, you know, making sure that they don't get into the wrong hands, and even more so, you know, not just doing background checks and finding out what the people's history are when it comes to casting directors or, you know, managers or people like that, publicists, you know, those are the types of people that have the most access, really, to the kids on a regular basis. And you need to find out their backgrounds. But on top of it, you know, there's also statutes of limitations and things like that, which also need to be dealt with.
Absolutely. They have to be removed because a lot of times people don't come forward because they don't think anyone's going to believe them. There shouldn't be a statute of limitation on things
That's
such
right.
as that.
Absolutely not. Now, I know that there is a bill being passed as we speak in California. I know they've made great strides with it. It's actually going up for a vote in the Senate. But the problem is, even with that new reform, even if it goes into place and it's supposed to take place in 2017, it's only for 2017 and onwards. So unfortunately, you know, if you're just getting in the business and you just start having the problems, then yes, fortunately, people now will be able to do something about it. But, you know, everybody prior to, you know, anything that happened today, anything that happens, you know, next month or, you know, in the next 6 months, still won't be on the record and won't be available for prosecution. So that's a tragedy.
It is a tragedy. Corey Feldman is our guest, actor, producer, musician. His new album, Angelic 2, The Core, comes out today. We'll talk more with Corey in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bill Leffin, it's Wendy Snyder, along with our guest Corey Feldman. Yes, that Corey Feldman, actor, producer, musician Corey Feldman. His new album, Angelic 2, The Core, comes out today. We're talking to Corey about his career. 80 films already, Corey. Does that knock you down when you hear that number?
It's actually over 100 at this point.
Wow.
So, you know, I know that some of the information on IMDb is not always correct. Sometimes people sneak in movies that aren't actually my titles, and then sometimes things get forgotten. So
still not as bad as Wikipedia, though.
That's for sure. That's for sure, yeah, because anybody has access to that thing. So it's like sometimes you'll go on there and you'll be like, what? What? That has nothing to do with me. What are they talking about?
So you did not play Stanley Kowalski in A Streetcar Named Desire. Am I getting that correctly?
You know what? You're right on. You're right on. Right. And you can find other big major loopholes like that all throughout.
All right.
Yes.
Corey, I got to tell you, loved The Lost Boys, loved Stand By Me, loved The Goonies. I've really been a fan of yours for the longest time. But you know where you...
Oh, thank you.
You really, really made it for me on the cast of Surreal Life. I loved that show. You were such a nice guy, so genuine.
Oh, thank you. Well, at least you're like one person who got that from it. I think for everybody else, they really tarnished me pretty badly on that show. Speaking of bad shows, there was another one that I did recently called Celebrity Wife Swap, which has been playing on Lifetime. And actually, they played it last night, which I was, you know, of course, so grateful that they had to remind people of that before my album came out. But, you know, I'm not a big fan of the reality show circuit. You know, the only reality show that I've ever been a part of that I think was worth watching was The Two Coreys.
Yeah.
Which, of course, I was an executive producer on, and I was able to make sure that they didn't, you know, just sit there and beat us up the whole time. But you know, besides that, reality is really kind of a dirty business. You know, they like to make people look like something that they're not. They put on blinders to people's true personalities and things like that. So it's a very kind of risky thing to do, especially if you have a, you know, a continuing career. It's great for people whose careers are over, not great for people who are planning on staying in the business.
Corey, I know this is a dark area to visit with you, but you've talked about it in the past. You talk about the pedophilia that goes on in Hollywood, and people would listen to you and they'd think, oh, maybe that happened, maybe it didn't happen, we're not sure. And then Elijah Wood, about a month or so ago, makes very similar claims about the fact that kids are mistreated sexually in Hollywood and that it's still going on today. What can you tell us about all this?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, like at the beginning of the interview, what I said before is pretty much how I feel. I mean, it, you know, unfortunately, there's not enough laws in place to protect the children, and more needs to be done about it. And, you know, I think as opposed to going on a witch hunt and, you know, looking for names of people who you can't prosecute, the most important thing to be doing is to be, you know, changing the standards and changing the laws and making sure that there's better protection in place moving forward.
But aren't you tempted to name, I mean, these people have ruined lives in Hollywood. You're not tempted to say their names?
Well, I didn't say I'm not tempted.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm just saying that, you know, there's no real point in it. What's it going to do? I mean, you go out there and you say these names and then what? You know, then everybody comes after me. Then they all want to sue me. Then I've got, you know, a hit on my head and stuff like that. And for what? You know, really.
But they're names we would recognize, aren't they?
Well, there's one, surely, that everybody would know, but the rest of them probably not. They're just normal guys that work their way into the industry. And, you know, I mean, one of them, you know, involves a very powerful person at a studio. But, you know, again, it's not names that people would know.
And these people have gone on to become very successful, I'm assuming, and can get a really great lawyer to, you know, get rid of what you're saying. So I guess what's the use of...
Some of them surely have, yeah, because what happens is then they go and they spin the media and they make me look like the bad guy and they tell everybody that I'm lying and what proof do I have and blah, 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 and then where does it go?
Yeah.
You know, it just again makes me look bad and I become the scapegoat. And then in the end, they're going to come off shining anyway, because that's what they do in every situation. I mean, I've seen one of these people, you know, is constantly in trouble, you know, and you see how it happens in the courtroom. And, you know, it's like everything that gets thrown up in front of the judge just kind of gets blown away. Like, you know, they never get in trouble. It's almost like they've got some higher group that's protecting them, shall we say, because, you know, it's a trickle-down effect, as we all know.
Elijah Wood made some similar claims, and then a day or two later just kind of backtracked. Was
he said
that
upsetting? He was misquoted
yeah.
or something.
Well, he didn't say he was misquoted. He said that he was basing his information on a documentary, which is called An Open Secret, which I myself haven't seen, but I know they use clips from interviews and stuff in that film. But I didn't really have much to do with it, to be honest.
Right.
So I don't know too much. But anyway, you know, let's get back to the focus of today, which is the album, because that's a much more enlightening and positive thing to focus on. And there's something you can do about it, because if you like the music, you can go buy it today, because it is available as of today all over the world. And specifically, if you want a physical copy and you want to buy that, the copy that's, you know, got the great biodegradable stuff and also has a 16-page color booklet, it's a two-disc set. And that is available exclusively through our new website, which is called angelictothecore.com. So all you have to do is type in the name of the album with the number 2. .com and you can buy your copy there.
Angelic, the number 2, thecore.com. Right?
You got it.
Excellent.
And it drops.
And I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Are you related to Tom Snyder? I just had to ask.
Me? No. God, I wish I was, but no, I wasn't.
Oh, you know, I used to do Tom's show a lot.
The Tomorrow Show?
Yeah.
Active. Well, that and when he did his radio show. You know, he had a radio show on KBC for quite a while.
That's right.
On Westwood One? Yeah.
Yeah, no relation.
Right. Well, too bad. I was going to tell you to say hello for him.
You know he's no longer with us.
He passed away, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, he died?
Yeah, he died about 6-7 years ago.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Well, you know, that wasn't really a big news story, I guess, but that's a shame. Cause
it did kind of get lost in the mix. I will agree.
Yeah. One of the best.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Hands down.
Unfortunately.
All right. And I want to talk to you about your love of animals. You're a vegetarian, and it's basically because you love animals. You don't do it for health reasons, right? You're big into PETA and all that?
Well, I don't work so much with PETA anymore these days. I have done stuff with them in the past, but now my focus is really, you know, smaller groups that need the attention, because PETA's so big, they've got everybody, right? They've got Paul McCartney and Pamela Anderson.
That's true.
So I figured, you know, I want to focus on the ones that need a little bit more help. But I work a lot with Humane Society, Farm Sanctuary. There's a great beagle rescue, which is called Project Beagle Freedom, and they go out and they rescue lab animals that have been tested on and have never seen, you know, grass and have never seen, you know, sunlight and things like that, because they've spent their entire lives in cages. So I do a lot of work with different animal groups, of course, and then, you know, I also work with children. I work with the environment. Anybody that needs a voice that doesn't have one of their own, I try to lend mine to.
And Snoop Dogg, too. You work with Snoop Dogg on the new record.
Well, that's right. On Perspective, we have a long list, actually. Speaking of dogs, right? We have a long list of great artists on this thing. I mean, there's Snoop Dogg, Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit, Kaya Jones from Pussycat Doll, Corrupts on the album, you know, B. Howard. I mean, it's just this crazy list. A couple guys from Pink Floyd, John Karen and Scotty Page, a couple guys from Black Eyed Peas, Poet, and some of the writers and producers from Black Eyed Peas. So, I mean, it's just a really great album made up of a lot of really great talent.
Well, Corey, congratulations.
Yeah,
drops today at angelic2thecore.com. Such a pleasure to talk
to
you.
That's Corey Feldman. Corey, next time we're only going to talk about your work on Madam's Place. I love Madam's Place. All right, next time.
I can't wait for that.
All right. Thanks, Corey. Great to talk to you. Have a great week.
Great talking to you. Thank you so much, guys.
That's Corey Feldman.
Thanks, Corey.
angelic2thecore.com. We'll take a quick break, find out what Rowan and Anna have next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.